Good morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Well, plenty of show. I was going to say good show for you, but I can't guarantee that. I will say plenty of show. Daisy Fuentes is coming in. Wanda Sykes is coming in. And we're going to continue with our religious pitch week. I got twins coming. I'm looking for a religion for the kids. In a way, I wish I'd been born with that faith. I don't think it would have made me a better person, but I would like to be carrying that around in my hip pocket. I feel I'm never more envious. You know, you can be envious of people when they say they got a new car, when they say they got a raise, or when they say, you know, they won 10 grand in the lottery. But where you should really be envious of people is when they say, you know I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I know he looks after me. I had a young nephew who died at the age of 4 years a couple years back, but I know that happened for a reason, and one day we'll be reunited, and everything happens for a reason. Those are the people you should feel envious of in life, not the guy driving the new car. Now, ironically, you don't feel envious of that guy because he has a car that has three coats of primer on it, and he's still renting a crappy apartment. Ironically, God is lukewarm on him, as far as I can tell. I mean, it's like, well, I know you have a personal relationship with him, but he didn't fix your teeth, and you're still living in a crappy apartment in Van Nuys. So I'm not sure if you guys are, you know, buds. Maybe he knows who you are. You know, maybe it's that kind of thing, like when I would go to a man show party and some grip would come up to me, hey, Adam, good season. Hey! Guy who made his own belt guy. Yeah. You know, you always know a guy by something.
It's uncomfortable for Jesus. He forgets the guy's name.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, goatee? What's going on? Let's get some shirts and skins going so I could tell the sinners from the saints. Dave Damashek. Over there, Christina Guerrero, filling in, doing some news, doing a wonderful job.
Thank you.
So anyway, we're going to have a rabbi in, because the Jews, this is a, you know, this is a religion I can hook my wagon to. First off.
Did you say hook your wagon to?
Yeah.
That's a great way to, way to say it.
I'd like them to pull me through life, you know. It's essentially, I got a wagon, I need a team.
Well, there's nothing better. Listen, let me tell you, I couldn't agree with you more about this. When desperately tragic things happen in my life, and they're sure to come sometime soon,
sure.
I deserve it already.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be, overdue. I'm gonna be devastated. I'll be, you know, beyond comforting.
Right.
But the people who have religion, as you say,
yeah,
that's the best. Well, it's God's will. What am
God's
I to do?
Will.
And now they're in a happier place.
Yeah.
I don't think it always has to be about religion, though. Organized religion, for me, I just never really got that. But having faith, having that as like a comfort zone, that somebody's watching over you, that you have a place to go, that this isn't the end, that's what's really comforting.
Well, that's still, I will take that.
Out.
Yeah, no, I'll take the comfort part about someone looking over in the plan. I can't get down with that either. It just seems too easy, and it's way too, it just seems like you're the house and you're making the rules now. And I don't know who's going to be sitting down at your poker table with these kinds of rules. It doesn't seem, and they don't seem to apply to elephants or Muslims or Unabombers or serial killers. They only seem to apply to you personally. I like the part where there was some business for the 9-year-old who died from leukemia. Well, we had business. So you had to tear him away from his T-ball practice in order to get him. What business did you have for the 9-year-old, by the way, for the third grader? I like that one. God must have, he wanted him. He needed him for something. Was there a small hole? God dropped his keys through a drainage ditch, and he couldn't get his hand in there, so he needed a small arm to go grab him. Like, what business did he have for the 9-year-old? Hey, we don't know. I always like that. My favorite religious thing, and then we'll get to know Christina. My favorite is the people. Well, first off, to me, it takes a certain kind of stupidity. Oh, actually, here's what it takes. It takes a certain kind of narcissism mixed with stupidity. One is, there's a plan for me. This can't be it. I don't think people can deal with the concept of not being, of nothing.
That's
it's
right.
The hardest concept for people to deal with. We can deal with the concept of pain. We can deal with the concept of shame, heartache, joy, all an emotion. Nothing cannot be dealt with. Like, it almost doesn't compute to us. You know, and people do that. Well, I don't know if I want to go through eternity just staring up at the top of a pine, but I go through this You're not going through eternity.
Yeah, you got about dead.
Yes, you got on average 78 years if you're a dude. If you're a chick, you got 88. I'd like to change that, by the way.
Or at least, doesn't seem fair, does it?
Well, at least let's meet somewhere in the middle around 83. I'm not saying we have to come up. Like, you guys come down and meet us.
You just want to get to our point.
Yeah, I look at like a boxing match, you know what I mean? I'm fighting at 142, you're fighting at 154. We got to make a title bout. Come see me at 150. Not saying I'm coming up to your weight.
I'm begging you to make that compromise.
Yeah, well, look, the amount of work and time it would take a man to add 10 years to his life, this could take hundreds of years. But if you ladies want to knock 5 years off, you probably do it in 6 months.
I like the sound of this.
Start smoking, start eating the grinders, unprotected sex. Come on down.
Well,
the water's warm.
We should
warm.
Put that to the test. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I'm in. Listen.
I'm not volunteering, of course. I'm not volunteering, but...
It's exactly as you said. It's narcissism combined with the human intellect. The human intellect refuses to accept the fact that since we run the globe, even though we're not the most powerful creatures, it's our intellect that allows us to be the king of the mountain, you know, creature-wise. So our intellect makes it so that we can't conjure not existing anymore, plus the narcissism. But
I would argue, by the way, it's the ultimate narcissism. I mean, you think maybe Donald Trump is a blowhard because he has his name written on the front of his building. How about the guy who just does nothing, has no life, no job, does nothing, but still says, I will reside in the house of the Lord and the streets are paved with gold. I mean, if you want to talk about delusional and you want to talk about narcissism, that's somebody. At least Donald Trump goes out and makes money. At least he buys the buildings that he puts his name on, garish as it is. At least he bought it. Mm-hmm. You just sitting back in your crappy apartment announcing you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that is narcissism.
I've never looked at it that way, I have to say.
Thank you.
Because I eventually hope to go to the kingdom of the Lord and one day. And,
no heaven. No? There is a hell.
There's
as you
a hell,
know that,
but
no heaven. Christina, we hope to break your will. You're 24, you're beautiful, you're flawless.
Oh,
you're
going to
leave
it.
Here a bitter old sea hag, angry at the world.
You're going to
walk out. Here's my goal. You're here for one more day?
I'm here for today.
Just for today.
Yeah.
I would like you to leave and head back to your apartment or head back to the hotel you're staying at.
Okay.
And when you come up, you get out of the car and you yell, "Get off that lawn!" To kids that aren't even on it. And it's not even your lawn. You just
angry.
Walk, just angry, just first thing we need to work on is posture.
Oh, okay.
Lean over, slump over. Right. Try to create a hump in your back.
Okay.
And
hold
then
on.
Secondly, you got to wipe that smile off your face.
That's hard for me.
Thirdly,
I smile even when I'm angry.
It's good not to talk to yourself. That's crazy, but to mutter to yourself under your breath.
God damn it!
It's good when you're driving. Foreigners think they own the road. It's good to talk. It's good to look down. Nobody tilts their head back and talks to themselves. If you think about it, you have to look down and you have to turn your head a little bit. You have to do it a little like a Van Sant and Sopranos. You know what I mean? Yeah. You have to assume that posture. Look angry all the time, and again, yell at kids to get off lawns, even if it's not your house.
You got it.
All right.
Why am I doing this?
I don't know. We'd like you to join us. We'd like you to be part of the team, okay. And I just don't think you're going to fit
in. Bitter and blame all your failings in life on the rest of the world. That's what you want to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a place you want to reach in life.
We don't need a ray of sunshine in here. The more you know, that's right. Ruining it for the rest of the dark clouds. So speaking of Christina Guerrero, you grew up Seattle.
Washington State, yeah.
Came out here, went to USC.
Right on.
How did that go? Were you a good student? In Seattle, you have to have some money to go to USC, right?
Yeah, and I grew up poor, extremely poor all my life, so I had to be a little bit smarter than the rest of the pack.
Hungry.
Really hungry, really aggressive, called USC every day. I'm like, look, I'm poor, but I'm going to be a star one day.
You called USC?
Yes, I called them.
How does that work? How does that work? Tommy Trojan picks up the phone?
Yes, exactly. And I said, look, Tommy, I'm going to be a big star one day, and if you let me into your school and you pay for it, then I promise I will attribute all of my success to USC.
Really?
Is kind of how it went down.
So you're in high school, Now, you're Latino. Do they give you a little break? Are they looking? Are they looking to attract the minorities in there?
I would, yeah, but I wouldn't say that was the definitely not the only reason. I mean, you have to be you know, smart to get into USC. It's a private school. It's, you know, pretty good.
Not as smart as UCLA, but you got to be smarter than I was to get into. Oh, Brian went to USC. Yeah, look how it's worked out for him.
Fight on.
Yeah, keep hustling those phones, Brian. Wait a minute. Has it been an hour? Give him $6. We pay him every hour.
Line 4 has been blinking at least twice now.
Let's go. Mach now. Let's go, SC boy. Yes, not as smart as I had to be to get into community college over in San Fernando Valley. But you're doing good in high school.
Yeah,
you decide you want to go to USC because of the communications program?
Wanted to go for the broadcast journalism. I was actually going to the University of Washington. I was I went to UW for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just wanted to be in Hollywood. I wanted to do L.A. and be in Hollywood, so I quit school one day, and I packed up my stuff and had $1,000 that I'd saved up and moved to L.A.
And you end up transferring to USC, and you get student loans, scholarships, things like that?
Exactly.
And your parents, what do they do for a living?
My mom's a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad is, who knows where my dad is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like that.
He's not a good guy. He's not a good guy.
Now you've become a pleaser.
I hope what do you mean?
Well, you know, girls who grow up with sort of absentee dads have an energy to them that translates very nicely into the bedroom. It's not great for marriage, but there's a certain hunger they have. You know, people.
I was like, tell me more.
Well, I watch, you know, after 11 years of Loveline, I start putting together sort of thumbnail sketches of everybody. And, you know, you hear these stories like, in spite of, like, even though Madonna lost her mother at a very young age, she was able to overcome this adversity to become the superstar. You hear this a lot of, even though this person lost their, and I always yell at the TV set, they didn't overcome it. That's why they become conglomerations. It creates a fire in their belly.
Exactly.
Women, oftentimes, men have their own issues. We die 10 years earlier. I like to answer every question with, we die 10 years earlier. Get off my back. Every argument, every time the old lady says, who didn't take the garbage?
We have babies and we have periods.
We die 10 years earlier, bitch. I think that wins. Yeah. Hey, who's taking the garbage cans? Who's going to take them in when I'm dead 10 years earlier than you? Every conversation should lead back to dying 10 years earlier. We should never let it go. But the thing about women who don't have a dad, there's always a little energy there with the boys. You know what I mean? Little compensation, little making up to do.
That smile that I just had on my face just went away. Now we're talking. This is like therapy for me.
Yes, serious. Was there a stepdad around?
No, not when I was home.
So grew up, no daddy.
No dad, just my mom.
Brothers and sisters?
There's five of us, two.
Wow.
Older sister, three younger siblings.
And never knew dad, never came around.
Yeah, I mean, he was around. He was kind of in and out all my life.
Worse, maybe, than not knowing
exactly.
Him.
So, yeah, in and out.
How do you get along? Right, nah, they're not. You get along with him now?
With my dad?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen my dad probably about 8-9 years.
Good, screw him.
Yeah,
that's what I say. I also, there's two things I want to say before we got to go to break. First off, it's okay to hate your parents if, in fact, they're bad.
Right.
You don't want to hate your parents if they're good. There's some kids that sort of have a beef, perpetual beef with their parents, and the parents did all right by them. You should give them a break. But then there's other kids, ironically, more so, there's a higher batting average for the kids who are abandoned by their parents to hold them up and idolize them like some kind of fantasy, Pegasus or something. Listen, if your dad was a bad guy, screw him. You know, people do that thing where it's like, yeah, but he's your blood, or he'll always be your dad, or she'll always be your mom. No, you got to earn that title. If your dad was absentee, if your dad was a bad guy, cut it loose.
I let it go a long time ago.
Good, he's a bad guy. He's out of there.
It is what it is.
Yes, good. I like that. Now come over here. Let me help you pick up the pieces. All right, we got to take ourselves a break. Danny?
Yeah.
You want to know why I say God bless you?
I just want to know why you do that. If you feel
you know, it's like when I go to Mexico, and I say gracias. I don't speak Spanish, but I'll throw the guy a bone because I'm in his country.
Can I tell you something?
Know what I'm saying?
I abandoned a few years ago ever saying bless you to anybody when they sneeze.
Oh.
It's the hokiest of all the stupid
sneezing
superstitions.
Yes.
Oh, well, you were good for you. God bless you. You just sneezed the devil out of you.
No, I don't.
The devil was in your body, and now you've purged it. Retarded! I refuse to say bless you.
I don't do it. I don't do that. I just say God bless you. Like, hey, thank you for calling in, you know.
Oh.
I don't do it. I don't think he's talking about the sneezing, because there's probably not been that much of it on the air. I mean, not enough for him to call in and comment on it. I know you're a genius.
Either way.
You're right. We'll take a break. We have a 93-year-old driver's ed teacher is calling in. Morton Morrison from Connecticut. Want to talk to him. 93 and still working. I don't respect that. I failed driver's ed, so we'll get into that with him after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Check him out online at adamcarolla.com.
Yeah. Daisy Fuentes is coming in. Wanda Sykes is coming in. Well, can you continue our religious pitch week? I'm looking for a religion. We got a rabbi coming in here. Kristen Guerrero doing her beautiful nose. Nice. I told Christina during the break that she's fine. I've been talking to my wife a lot now. Because the kids are coming, and she thinks we should talk, you know, all the time. And we wants to hatch plans for the kids, you know, where they're going to preschool, where they're going to grade school, what are we going to do? And I'm a guy who was basically just raised like a squirrel, you know, in my own yard. Just, yeah, go out there, do your thing, see if you try not to get backed over by the neighbor. And I turned out fine. And I realized, as I said to my wife many times, either the kid's curious or they're not. You can send them to Harvard and Yale, but if they don't want to know, they won't want to know. And we know a lot of those people. Those are a lot of people always tell me to shut up. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always like, what the hell's the difference between curtains and drapes? Who the hell cares? Now shut up! I went to school with a bunch of those guys and then swung hammers with a bunch of those guys. But, you know, as I think about, as you get older, you talk about your friends like, man, the guy's smart. Man, the guy's got everything going on. He was a great student and stuff. He just can't figure out. You know, you get that phone call from your buddy who wants to borrow $1,500 and the guy scored 1,600 on the SATs. And I just realized either you want to work or you don't. And I don't mean you're a hard worker. I mean, either you want to do stuff or you don't. Either you want to get out there and hustle or you don't. It doesn't matter how smart you are. I know people, I don't want to mention any names, but I know people who aren't particularly smart at all. They're just hustlers. They got into real estate, and they make a very comfortable living.
Mm-hmm.
Not intelligent, not funny, anything.
So you attribute it to that. I always feel like it's even more just complete randomness, complete fluke. Like, there are too many dumb people I know who are successful in career and too many smart people that are bumps.
I would trade in education, I would trade in smarts, and I would trade in a whole bunch of things for hustle. You show me somebody wants to get up early in the morning and start getting it going. Like I said, how smart do you have to be to do half these jobs? You know, we're all not going to be professors at Caltech. You want to be a real estate guy. So you take your crash course over a weekend, you get your license. Next thing you know, you're selling condos. Then you're in a commercial property, and boom, you're making millions of dollars.
True. Yeah, I guess you really don't be a doctor, you have to be smart, I suppose.
Yes.
And
there's about three or four professions where you actually have to be smart. Some you get compensated for, some you don't really ever get compensated for, and then there's all the rest where it's just about getting there, learning the routine, figuring it out. You do that your first year, then you hustle.
Hmm.
All right. Morton?
Yes, sir.
I just want to say that our Christina's a hustler. She'll be all right. Morton, you're 93 years old.
By the way, I'd like to make a comment on the last thing you were talking about.
All right.
The difference between education and experience. Education is when you read the small print. Experience is what happens if you don't.
Powerful. Powerful. I like that.
You can quote
the more me. You know.
Well, I'm 94 years old on Saturday.
Oh, you are?
Wow, happy birthday.
Saturday, 9-4, the big number. But I don't feel it.
You don't. You sound very lucid.
I am. When I teach a course, I'm the youngest 93, 94-year-old they have ever met or ever will meet.
Mm. You were born the day the Titanic sank?
I wasn't on the ship.
But
go with that, though. Say you were.
I would.
Make for a better story.
You were born that day.
Yes.
Wow. That is, it's been some time. And what, you know, I know you teach driving. and that's
I worked
it.
With the AARP safe driving course.
Right, that's the retired persons. And
yes.
These are people who are trying to get back on the road or
not trying to get back. We update their driving skills by going over a whole book of information that they have already forgotten.
But can I ask you this,
sure.
Morton, because my grandmother, before she finally hung up her driver's license, she's now 90. Well, she's 93, too, but I don't know. I think she was born when the Lusitania sank.
No,
that was some years later.
That was in 1917, I think.
I know.
Impressive,
Christina was about to correct me and say that was a full 36 months later.
The topic of hanging up your keys is the last topic we have in our book.
When to hang up the keys.
That's right, and you have to assess your own ability.
Well, let me ask you this. Obviously, when your seeing is impaired just a little bit, as will happen as you get older, and your reflexes slow down a little bit, to me, it's not the knowledge part, it's the hand-eye coordination and the depth perception.
Absolutely.
So you're teaching them things that are in a book, but to me, it's more just a reason why you can't play baseball anymore either.
That's true.
All right. Well, that's enough of that. Thank you. So you're agreeing with me. So where do you come in?
Our course is a review of the driver knowing himself, his vision, his hearing, his reaction time, his physical fitness, the medications he takes, how it interplays with alcohol, the drowsiness that you get.
I see.
In other words, we make them aware of a lot of things. Then we warn them about the different people who are on the road. Here in Danbury, we have a new problem. We have a lot of illegals, and illegals cannot get a driving license, so they drive without a license.
Uh-huh.
What happens? What happens if you get in an accident with them? Mm-hmm. Who's going to cover the damage? You're going to have to cover the deductible yourself.
Mm-hmm. So you blame the foreigners for everything. I like that.
I don't blame, old school. I don't blame anyone. I say be aware and be on your guard and take care of yourself.
Yeah, my grandmother has a car. By the way, she bought a diesel Mercedes that was 20 years old at the time, but still a diesel in like 1979, which is the worst choice you can make. Here's the thing about diesel. Hurts the performance of the car. This is 20 years ago. You can buy it out of out of every 25 gas stations, carries it around here, and now it costs more than premium. So you do the math.
Also, in California, aren't there any rules against the pollution of a diesel?
No, I don't know. But yes, that thing is, it's like James Bond's car when it goes onto the freeway. Just people crashing behind it, plume of smoke. You can't see your hand in front of your face, people honking the horn and stuff. But now she's run into so many things. It's one thing to see cars that are dented. It's another thing to see cars that are open. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like much like the Titanic when it hit the iceberg. You know, it's one thing to have the thing pushed in. We're all used to that. It's another thing to have it tore open as if you took the jaws of life and just ripped open the quarter panel. I mean, it looked like a shotgun blast. It came out the backside of the fender. It is great looking. Once in a while, my mom drives it around. It's a great look.
Tell
79 Brown.
To Danbury. Nobody here has a car like that.
Really?
Well, that
I
that
may
raises.
Send her there.
See, look, he's asking for that. The reason I assume you got into this work, Morton, is because you wanted to meet girls.
You kidding?
No. Meet some nice. meet some 63-year-old ladies.
Uh-huh.
Yes? Morton, yeah. Let me ask you about that. You're 94. Going to be 94 next week. You still have a libido?
I'll keep that to myself.
I'll take that as a no. Is the plumbing still hooked up? Does everything work?
I'm a very active young man.
Really?
Wow.
What is that? Really? I'm starting to become bored with sex, and I'm 41. I can't believe at 93 that I wouldn't have just been burnt out on it altogether.
Mm.
No?
You got your mind on the wrong things.
You have a woman?
I got a wife. My child bride is still with me.
Wow. So how old were you when you got married?
26.
And is your wife still alive?
She taught me to drive.
What? So how old is your wife?
92.
Wow. Unbelievable. So how many years is that then? I can't, the math is, I'm not quick enough at math.
71 years.
Between the two of us, we're pushing 200 years.
Wow, you guys have been married for 70-something years? 71 years? 70?
No, it's about 67.
Oh, really? All right. Okay, and still
marvelous.
Look, if you do it right, it lasts. But today, you go into something with a, well, we'll see how it works out.
Yes. So you got married, and this is an interesting thing. If you start anything with the option of being able to drop out, then you will drop out, or there's a much higher likelihood that you will drop out. If you
statistics show that these are all trial marriages that you're going into,
right.
And 50% or more they drop out.
Yeah, if
they get married with quotation marks without the ceremony.
Right. Yeah. I agree. I was going to say, like, if you were trying out to be a Navy SEAL, but someone said, look, the second it becomes too tough, you just drop out. Mm-hmm. You just drop out. I mean, at day number four, after dragging along the beach in your boots for too long, you just go, screw this, I'm out. If you do anything with the option of when it gets too tough, I'm going to quit, you'll drop out. I heard somebody tell me who got married, they were thinking to themselves as they were walking down the aisle. You know this person too, Dave. I don't know if you went to her wedding. It's up in Yosemite. Sounding familiar to you now?
Sure.
She used to work over the Man Show. She told me she got married. It lasted about 6 months or a year or something like that. She said as she was walking down the aisle, she thought to herself, well, if it doesn't work out, I can always get divorced. And yeah, you didn't have that option from your old school, right, Morton? You kill your wife before you divorce her, right?
I've heard that joke. People ask her,
really?
You ever think of divorce? He says, no, not divorce, murder, yes. That's your joke.
Are you Jewish, Morton?
Yes.
Shocker. We got a rabbi coming in later on. If you can hang on for about 3 hours, you can talk to him.
Look, I want to tell you one thing.
Yes.
The attitude of the older people that you encounter is a lot different from the attitude that younger people have today. Now, nothing wrong about younger people.
Yeah.
But the fact that we have lasted and that we have still stuck to all our beliefs is a very good sign that something was right in our upbringing.
I also feel when I talk younger people and older people, I'm talking about 20s versus 40s, and you're talking about 60s versus 80s or 90s. But there's something that happens to people when they get older, especially guys. They lose the testosterone. Guys are horrible when they're in their 20s. It's a lot of dude and a lot of hey man, and it's almost like they're on steroids. It's almost like they've been injected with something. It's testosterone. They're in everyone's face and they're obnoxious. You meet that same guy when he's in his mid to later 30s, much mellower, much easier guy to hang out with. If this keeps going, I like the direction we're going in. Like Morton, we could hang out because you're in your 90s, and I'm sort of spiritually in my 90s. I could introduce you to TiVo. You could show me your ways. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Do you have TiVo?
No.
No. What do you? How do you? What do you do? Watch the old Dumont Network on a black and white TV, or do you have cable and all that stuff?
Are you kidding? I also teach computers.
Oh wow!
I love public broadcasting stations, the programs they have. Right now I'm working on 6 courses that I'm going to offer to adult education institutions in this area. 6 different courses that I'm ready to teach this fall.
Morton is, by the way, just to catch everyone up, going to be 94 on Saturday and still teaching, still out there teaching driver's ed, which I failed at the high school level. Yeah, I know you think I'm kidding, but I did fail driver's ed. I used to think it was a normal thing, and now I realize after going around and doing a little sampling of society that I'm the only one who's ever failed driver's ed.
You were having the accidents in the parking lot.
No, that's driver's training. That's what I would have taken had I not failed driver's ed, but I never got to take driver's training because I actually failed the driver's ed part. And let me just say this to Mr. Gregory, if he happens to be listening. Mr. Gregory, the balding, wiry-haired guy with the horrible mustache who never got laid. Have fun in your crappy Van Nuys apartment driving your Daihatsu Charade. Literally, a millionaire. Now, I have to decide whether to take a Ferrari into work or to go ahead and have the driver drive me in. So if you're listening, Mr. Gregory, who failed me, and driver said, kiss my hairy ass. Thank you. That wasn't levied toward you, Martin. I want you to know that.
You didn't like Mr. Gregory.
He failed me.
Uh-huh.
I really thought, like, for me, GPA wasn't an issue. I wasn't going to college. I knew that early on, even in the 10th grade. I knew I wasn't going to college. All I needed was a D to move on to take driver's training, and he didn't even give me a D, and I attended every day of the class. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You realize what that takes?
How old were you?
I was 16 or turning 16. I turned 16.
And you couldn't wait to get a driver's license because it would make time with the girls.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. 22 Skidoo. I take my dad's Stutz Bearcat. We go watch the submarine races. Put on the raccoon coat. Wow, what year did you graduate high school, Morton?
1929, which is when the Depression started.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
Wow.
1929, the year of the Great Depression. And did you go off to college?
Yes, till 1933.
Mm-hmm. And what college did you go to?
I went to City College in New York City. It was free.
And then what?
Then I took a master's degree.
And then what?
Then I passed the CPA exam first crack.
And then what? We're going to keep going year by year until we get to 2000. And, well, it'll actually be 2007 by the time we catch up.
But business was so bad mm-hmm. that I switched my majors and I went back to school and I qualified as a teacher. And I was teaching business subjects for 36 years.
Let me ask you this. I don't want to get too strange and philosophical. I know you thought you were going to call and just talk about driving, being a 93-year-old driver. Instructor, but what has surprised you the most from when you were young to this age about society? Has there been something that you just thought wouldn't happen and has? Is there a piece of technology that you never thought would come and has come? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think that change is the big thing, and you have to be able to roll with the punches.
That's no answer.
Everything that was still is. The corruption we have always was and always will be. In yesterday's New York Times, there was an article about salaries that corporate officials get and how they work hand in glove with the consultant who determines what the salary is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's nothing new. We've had corruption all the time.
I know, but I'm talking about technology.
Technology?
Yeah.
Tremendous changes. When I was a kid, there wasn't even a radio in the house. There were no radios.
Mm-hmm.
We had gas light.
Wow.
In the morning, I was living in Brooklyn, New York at the time, when I was ready to go to high school, and the lamplighter would come down the street in the evening, turn on the gas light, and come back in the morning and turn it off.
Wow. Hmm. You're like the Jewish Flintstones. The Flintstones.
Well, look.
And here's what you know what I love about society? I bet in 19, when somebody introduced the electric light onto the street, some guy went out and protested. These gaslighters, the guys who are in charge of replacing the flints on the gas-burning lights, these guys are going to be out of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do? This is horrible.
Uh-huh.
And they probably protested, right?
Uh-huh. And they taught them how to make batteries.
Mm. Hmm. Wow.
Well, what's your favorite invention since you've been alive? What's the best thing to come along?
Oh, God, there have been so many things. There have been such changes.
The wheel, I think. It's either fire or the wheel.
We had wheels.
You had wheels, but what about fire? That had to make a change in your life, right?
There have been changes.
The saddle.
In everything you can imagine. There have been changes in, just name it.
Yeah.
Everything.
TV. TV's the best, though, yes?
TV? There was no TV.
Yeah.
I remember the first TV that I saw where there was a spinning wheel with holes in it.
Mm.
I remember an engineer's conference at the Carnegie Hall where they were demonstrating stereo for the first time for the making of the picture Fantasia.
How have people changed? And then we'll let you go because
people,
I know...
People are the same.
The same. Everyone's the same.
Look, if you're a nice person, everyone else is nice. Mm-hmm. And the people who are not nice, you avoid them.
All right.
I agree with Morton. People wax about the good old days and things were much better way back when. People, as he says, people were lousy back then and there's still a lot of same percentage of lousy people.
Yeah.
What we call the good old days is a sentimental reflection on what was. It wasn't always so good.
Now, why should people change that much in 50, 60 years anyway?
It was a hard
anyway?
Life.
Right. All right, Morton. Hey, Morton?
Yes, sir?
I'd like to correspond with you on a semi-regular basis.
If you'd like to, get me on my email.
No, I don't mean on a personal level. Are you high, old man? I mean for the show.
Unfortunately, even though you're about 50, 60 years older than Adam, you're more proficient with a computer than he is.
Sadly.
He doesn't know how to read or write.
Well, you got a jump start on me. Yeah.
Look, I write a column for some publication here, and it's called You're Never Too Old.
Yes, not interested. I'm talking about talking on the radio.
Anytime you want to talk, call me.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll put I'll put Morton on hold. We should talk to him because every once in a while we need the take of a 94-year-old.
That's marvelous. What a marvelous man. And he's and as you say, fortunate at 94 to be such a to be so lucid.
I know because I felt myself losing it over just the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now sometimes you have things pop in your head. They don't come. Some movie. Some guy you went to high school with. As you get a little bit older, you'll find this out, Christina. The names just, the stuff isn't it quite as accessible as it was. It's not quite at your fingertips. And for 94.
It's amazing.
He is fast.
I don't care for the thing of helping people better themselves.
No, I don't. That, I don't.
That seems
I
like
think
a waste
I disagree
of time.
With that.
But
too.
Otherwise, though,
yeah.
a neat fella.
I must say, though, whenever I talk to a guy who's really old, I always think there's some advice that they're going to have that's going to enlighten me or open my eyes, and it never comes.
Hmm.
It's always a disappointment. You know, whenever you go, what's the... Actually, I've realized that talking to people in general is a disappointment.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. For a talk show. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's an interesting approach. But I know... Wait, no, you meet some guy, whether the guy's been on the moon or he's been... I spent some time with George Foreman. The other day. I mean, here's a guy who wins the heavyweight title in 1973 and then wins it again in 1994, 95, like 20-something years later. Just go ahead. Just goes ahead and wins the toughest thing to do in sports 20 years later. People don't make enough of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's incredible. The guy wins his first heavyweight title when Nixon is in office, and then he goes ahead and does it when Clinton's in office. It's crazy. Yeah. This is boxing. This is not golf. You know what I mean? But you sit down with the guy and you start talking to him about what was Muhammad Ali like? He's, you know, he's all right. It's like, what? You fought Muhammad Ali in Zaire? Yeah. It was, you know, it was a different time. Are you that modest or is life really that boring? I'm the guy who does 45 minutes on the Geico Lizard, by the way. You can't put together 2 minutes on Muhammad Ali and the Thrill in Manila or whatever the hell it was. You got nothing? I feel the same way with old people, too. 90 years on this planet. What do you know? People are people. Oh, come on, old man. You got to do better than that. What use is it being old? No one wants to F you anymore. You can't drive worth a crap. You can't get a boner. Come on, give me some information. I think we were sold a bill of goods that old people knew something. I think they're really just the stupid guys we grew up with who are now falling apart. I don't know that they know anything. I just think we grew up watching movies and stuff where the sage would come down from the mountain and he would scratch his beard and impart some pearl of wisdom. It doesn't come. Every time I talk to an old person, like, I'm this close to backhanding my grandmother every time I talk to her. Granny, what do I need to know? I mean, you're moving on soon. Don't leave and take something with you to the grave. What do I need to know? I got a few more years here. I want to work things out. You know, you do what you do.
People
what?
Are people.
The people are... What? It's a Tears for Fears song, you old bag. Depeche Mode. Boy, you gay, Brian. Brian yells, Depeche Mode, into my ear. So gay. Oh, no, this song is so bad. It's so 80s, too.
It's Morton's favorite Depeche Mode song, though.
Oh, we got a break. Hold on, just cue that up one more. Can you cue that up again, Mike? Everyone just dig the beginning of the song. Tell me if you can figure out what era it took place in. What decade? At what point did we think this sounded good? We had all behind.
A lot of pipe banging back in the 80s.
Yeah, and guys on Synsonic drums.
Great song.
What are you doing? Driving in your car, just going, wow, yeah, turn it up. Brian, this song sucks. Are you kidding?
I like Depeche Mode. Like Tears for Fears better.
Oh.
No joke, man.
I know. That's why I'm making a face of me. Ugh. Yeah, holds up nicely. Holds up very nicely. All right, Brian, go back to that, would you please? He who graduates USC and answers our phones. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. What are we doing when we come back? We're running late? Oh yes. We're going to have Surjit, our intern. He's Indian. Not American Indian, but Eastern Indian. He likes to be called Doug. He's going to come in here. He's going to do our Hollywood gossip report. We've been looking for a gossip reporter for a while, and I think our new intern, Surjit, is going to work out, but we'll find out the answer to that. Oh, this whiny rock. You know, this sort of gay, whiny rock? Help me understand. You know, you want to. Of course, you're not one of these people that causes any death or destruction, but you'd like to know. Enlighten me. What goes on? And then it goes into a sort of break it down part. Dun, dun, dun. Is there an actual instrument in this goddamn song, or is it just a guy with a Casio and a drain pipe?
Pretty sure there's a bass player.
It had to suck to play in a band like this. You know what I mean? Like, you think about the kind of bands you'd like to play in. You know, you'd want to be up there just swinging that axe. You know what I mean? You'd want to be whatever kind of music you like. Maybe it's Creedence. Maybe it's some kind of bluegrass stuff. Maybe it's just good old Jimi Hendrix rock. But either way, you'd want to be jamming. Wouldn't it suck to be playing the drums in this band? Standing up. Everything's hexagonal shaped. Everyone's hair is all left up. There's some guy with a Casio. And you just no one knows what's going on.
That would suck.
You got one of those stupid basses that has no neck on it. You know, it's just it's got the frets, but it's got no head on it. You know that bass? Square. Ugh, everyone's wearing a jumpsuit. You got a trapezoid-shaped bass, and everyone's wearing boots, zip-up on the side boots, and jumpsuits.
The weird thing is, in concert, it's just
eyeliner.
Guys pressing buttons.
Ugh. No one's playing an instrument, people just pressing buttons behind you. Ugh. All right, enough
Ruska's
of this.
Getting very upset.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Lisa Lampanelli, comedy's lovable queen of mean. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
There you go, Ace. You're complaining about the Depeche Mode going out.
Yeah, what is this?
This is Soundgarden, Bad Motor Finger, Dynamite.
Nine, I'm waiting for it to kick in. All right, Surjit, Aluwalia. Aluwalia.
Aluwalia.
Aluwalia. Say it again, please.
Aluwalia.
And first name?
Doug.
Surjit?
Surjit.
Surjit Aluwalia.
Doug.
Doug.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's happening, Surjit?
He
wants to be called Doug. He's our new intern. He's Indian. Not American Indian, but
7-Eleven, as you call it.
Yeah, I got into a lot of trouble with the band, No Doubt, for doing that.
Oh, yeah, there's one of my people.
Yeah, one of your people, Tony. Tony's in No Doubt. And let me ask you this. I've been called a racist many times, but this is when it began. Sitting with Gwen and Tony from No Doubt, doing a radio show about 10 years ago, back when No Doubt was just sort of beginning.
When they were No Clue.
They were No Clue, yes. No Doubt was No Clue. Thank you. You shouldn't be interning here. You should be writing.
Sir Jeet really knows his stuff. About
I'm sitting
the
there, and we're talking about interracial dating. And Gwen Stefani says, I dated a guy of a different race before. It was no big deal. And I said, oh, what race is that? She said, once I dated a guy. He was an Indian guy. Now, her and Tony are sitting there. I don't know what Tony is, by the way. Plays the bass for a ska band out of Orange County, has a shaved head. Who the hell am I supposed to know what his nationality is? And I just know him by Tony. So Gwen says, I dated a guy, and she starts talking about this guy. Yeah, one day we dated. It was no big deal. It worked. You know, we were together for a number of years. He doesn't have any whatever. She's talking about the guy like he's not in the room. I didn't know it was him. And then she says Indian. And I said, woo-woo-woo or 7-Eleven Indian? And they both get PO'd, and then Tony gets PO'd, and I didn't realize it was Tony. But, like, who sits next to the person that they're talking about doesn't say it was this guy?
Well, either way, woo-woo-woo or 7-Eleven. Yeah.
All right. You know what?
We've come to accept it.
Yeah. We were pressed for a time. It was a different time. We're talking about 1998.
Oh, I see.
You know, understand?
Sure.
Different time.
Yeah. You're setting your way.
Back in the day.
Back in trying to make a joke. That's my point. All right. Oh, we got to take a break already. Somebody loves the show and is jogging, though. I have to talk to this person. Mark?
How you doing, Adam?
What's happening, Mark?
I'm just catching my breath and enjoying the show. I really appreciate that you guys are on the air down here in San Diego.
Thank you. You got your headphones on? You're jogging?
Yeah, well, I was, but you had me laughing so hard on the trapezoid bass bit.
My old trapezoid bass bit.
I just about knocked over a flock of coral cyclists. Oh.
Yeah, do me a favor, Mark. If you're going to be out jogging, do not do that obnoxious move where you jog in place at the red light. Just go ahead and break it down. As a matter of fact, don't just stop. I want you to do that thing where you put your hands over your head and buckle over and do a little dry heaving. That's the guy I want to see from my car, not the guy merrily jogging in place. I don't like that guy.
When the light's red, I reach in and adjust the furniture a little bit.
Yes,
wait
yes.
For the green.
Yes.
And they keep going.
I want one of your hands should be on your junk and the other should be on one of those high-calorie protein bars. I'd like to see you eating and adjusting yourself, not running in place. I feel much better looking at you from my automobile when you're standing still and eating. All right. We need to take a break. Doug, Sergeep, Alawalia.
Yes.
It's like how the English say aluminium. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back.
I've got crazy news for you.
You have crazy entertainment news.
Fantastic.
Okay, this will be great after this.
Hey, this is Adam Delafania from Minora Team. You're listening to the Mr. Miyagi of Radio, Adam Carolla.
Thank you, mijo. Sergeant Alawalia.
Doug.
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 Likes to be called Doug. He's our intern. He's from India.
That's it.
And he's hip to the American culture.
Oh, yeah. I've been studying everything. I watch all the time.
And you want to do a little entertainment reporting for
little,
the show.
Here's some stuff I picked up.
All right. Let's hear it.
On your wire.
Mm-hmm.
Not on your wire, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Apparently, Lindsay Lohan's dad, who's in jail,
mm-hmm.
good, solid family unit.
Yes.
He wants her to get back together with Wilmer, that guy.
Wilmer Valderrama.
I can't say it.
It's ironic when Sergeant Aluia can't say Wilmer. What's it?
Alawalia.
Alawalia can't say Valderrama.
That's very hard.
Quite a ladies' man, that Wilmer, by
but
the
I
way.
Think what her father's trying to do here is what we did back home. Is have an arranged marriage here.
Yeah.
He's trying to set it up.
Hey, you know what? I think you have a higher percentage chance of an arranged marriage going the distance than you being able to find out who you want to marry on your own. I know it sounds crazy,
but... Well, you know, that's how we relate it. It's a love marriage or arranged marriage.
Yeah.
And love marriages can fizzle. An arrangement is an arrangement.
I agree. That goes on forever. You should work for De Beers. No, it's Christina over here, our beautiful news
very
girl.
Hot.
Very beautiful.
Hot.
She had an absence. She's what?
Hot.
She's hot, yes.
Hot. So hot.
She had an absentee father. All right, so she's got some issues around Dad. Now she's liable to be attracted to a bad boy.
That's the guy
she's going to be attracted to. That marriage is going to go on 18 months max because she's picked the wrong guy. She's picked. If I just set you up with Sir Jed over here, you guys will go on forever.
Forever.
Oh yeah, you're a Latina, right?
A what?
Latina.
What is that?
A Latina.
Yes. Latina. Yeah, she's a Latina.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
You guys, we have spicy food too, so you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Presumptuous intern hitting on the news girl.
All right, what else is going on in entertainment?
Now, upon you giving me this internship here, I'm very most pleased. Mm-hmm. I can't thank you enough. But also, they are looking to somebody to replace Meredith Vieira on The View.
Oh, Vieira.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, if I could get this job, why can't I get that job?
Yeah, I don't know if they want to turn it into a schlong fest over there.
There's, what, 4 or 5 women?
Yes.
How good is that many opinions?
Well, you make a good point. Once you get to 3 women, you have all the women opinions you need.
Who's in the kitchen?
No, listen.
None of them.
I understand. It's like if you want to study buffalo, how many buffalo do you have to study? You look at 2 of them, you know how buffalo behave. It's the same with women. I agree with Sir Jin on this one.
So I'm thinking maybe I should go in and talk to them.
You know, I know you may be kidding, but I've been thinking about it. If there was a talk show where there was 4 or 5 dudes sitting around, some producer would say, you got to get a sassy, fiery female in here to bring up the feminine. You know, you guys steamroll with your topics and then have someone say, no, let me give you my perspective. It would be good to put a guy on there to bring his perspective.
Put the gay guy.
Yeah, I know. It's essentially.
And then that's the same as having 5 women.
Yes. I agree.
They do need like a cool, regular dude kind of like Sir G.
The guy's guy.
Sir G. Yeah.
Ready hip.
Yeah, what's happening now? Yeah, right. We start talking about breast augmentation. You start talking about cricket.
That's what it, see?
Yeah.
You need to know who's doing what, where.
Right. No,
who's bowling.
I agree.
You know?
No, I agree, yeah.
Also, you know, Whitney Houston apparently has a crack addiction problem and also a drug problem.
Oh, really? Separate.
It says crack turned Whitney into sex craze monster. So, I mean, I don't want to be rude because there's a lady in the room, but I like the crack.
Yeah. Yeah, if you gave it a different name, if you just said this magic pill turns ladies into sex-crazed monsters, you'd say, where do I get them?
That's what I'm saying.
That's what you're saying, right?
If only you could slip that into a drink. Now, listen.
Right.
Ryan Seacrest, the multi-talented Ryan Seacrest.
He is, yeah.
He's, when I think of all the good things in America, that's not one of them.
Oh.
He's bought Kevin Costner's home for $11.5 million.
Wow.
Where the hell he got the money?
I don't know. He has 9 jobs. I mean, he does mornings, right? Does morning radio. He does, obviously, the American Idol, and he's on whatever the E channel doing his red carpet roundup every night.
He's a bloody pain in the ass, that guy.
The Sergeant, though, that's your sort of your. He's not a good, not a bad guy for you to aspire to become. Yes, this is what you'd like to see happen with your career.
I want his jobs.
Yes,
I don't like him.
Right,
he's very annoying.
Yeah, he's annoying. But I will say this. I know he's an easy target for people to beat up on. He does a fine job in American Idol.
But he's a little fey, though. And Sergeet's more of
a what?
Regular dude. Fey. You know, little,
it's gay with an F.
Oh, that's bad. That's not so good.
Yeah.
I think that's it for my news. Not a whole lot happening in your world at the moment.
Do you have some tag? You know, I'm Sergeet, and that's E. You know what I mean, or something?
I'm Sergeet. No. Why am I calling myself Sergeet?
You're Doug.
Yeah. This is Doug, and that's the way it goes.
I forgot about that. All right, always sign off with this is Doug. Get one more time, one clean one. Here we go.
Okay, this is Doug, and that's the way it goes, man.
Oh, you had the man. I like that. Very nice. All right, Doug, don't call me Sergeet Aluia. Nice job. I love you. Intern, we're going to take a break, or are we doing news? No, we're doing news and sports. Fantastic. All right, Christina Guerrero, you ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
With the news.
All right, everybody. Gwyneth Paltrow and her husband, Chris Martin, are parents once again. She delivered a baby boy over the weekend. The name? No fruit, no vegetable. They named him Moses. Coldplay actually recorded a song a couple of years ago called Moses. We've got a little clip of it, too.
There is. I will say this about Coldplay. I've met them a few times, and Chris, the lead singer, and everything. Very nice band. Very well-mannered band. Good guys, but enough with the pretentious stuff. And just because you wrote a song about it a few years ago doesn't mean it's okay to name your kid.
Could have been a boy named Sue.
Yeah, should have named him Sue. Apple Sue.
All right. I figured this out, though. Apple Martin is the kid's name, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Apple Martin. It's an inside joke. They went out and got drunk on apple martinis.
Yeah.
Am I the first? Not the first one to figure that out?
No, you just took the longest.
Yes.
You're the last one to figure that one out.
Yeah. I discovered about 3 months ago that Arby's stood for roast beef. The restaurant.
Yeah, Arby's.
Yeah,
oh,
I
can't
go there. Can't go there.
Broke up. Oh, yeah. You pray to those things we get 3 for $99. I ran down the street shouting it, and everyone told me they figured it out in the ninth grade.
Yeah, I never knew that. I just,
there you go. Well, good.
I'm the last one to figure that one out.
All right.
All right. Well, did you guys catch Oprah yesterday? She interviewed Debbie Cope, a recruiter for the show Girls Gone Wild.
Mm.
Tough job, right?
The show Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah, Girls Gone Wild.
You mean, now I know the Girls Gone Wild video.
Yeah, the Girls Gone Wild video series.
Yeah, you said the show.
Yeah, wasn't it a show? It's like a show video?
I don't know. It's like pay-per-view, and you can buy DVDs and stuff. But
the movie, perhaps, Girls Gone Wild?
Right, yeah. Every once in a while, I buy one on the pay-per-view during
it's
my dark
period.
It's like a documentary of sorts. The documentary, Girls Gone Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's a typical day like for a Girls Gone Wild recruiter? She explains.
They pay me $100 to go out with them and help them get girls. They either would kiss another girl, flash their breasts, or maybe flash the lower regions. Then the other option would be the scene, which would be soft core girl-on-girl action, just going to either a shower, they would give me like an extra 20, something like that.
$20, that's it?
You know, it's like making Nikes at home.
Yeah. Yeah, let the professionals do it. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, you know,
there's professional porn out there. What do we need this backyard wrestling porn?
That's not good, man.
Yeah, you want to see the real thing.
You don't go to India and get homeless chicks?
No.
It's not healthy.
No, I understand. Wow. Inside the life of a recruiter.
And that was all on Oprah. How about that? Now,
did you get Oprah to flash?
That I don't think happened.
Wow, that'd be worth something. Yeah.
Oprah Gone Wild. Sounds good. Now, in Iraq, a new radio talk show called Good Morning Orange City just launched near Baghdad. It's got an open format and allows their listeners to call in and discuss issues. That's a novel idea, don't you think?
Mm.
We've got an exclusive audio clip from the show, and apparently, I don't know if this is true, guys, but they're copying this show.
Wow. Like I was saying, I think all we can do is pray to Allah that these red turn arrows just go away. Okay, before I lose my temper, let's go to Abdul Hakim with the number one sports.
It is time for Abdul Hakim's
number one
sports. Do it, Hakim.
Iraq still has no sports.
Abdul Hakim's number one sports.
Well, you think they'd stop going to the sports eventually if they didn't have any.
That's the station that wouldn't let me intern.
Oh, really? You applied over there.
They don't like Indians.
Wow.
You, Adam, very noble man.
They're not into the Hindus over there.
Right.
We're wide open over here.
I'm Christina. That's the news. Speaking of sports, we've got sports.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
National pastime. The Dodgers spoiled the Pittsburgh Pirates home opener. They beat the Buccos 8-3 yesterday, and they also beat their old skipper, Jim Tracy. He's having a tough year. Now he's 1-7. Those jerks kicking a man when he's down like that. Over in the American League, the Angels won 5-2. John Lackey pitched a gem. NBA, LA's finest pro team. The Clippers lost to the Mavericks 75-73. Doesn't seem like an NBA score. 75-73.
No, junior college.
As though they forgot to play a quarter or something. Lots of news in the NHL, though. LA Kings all-time leading scorer, Lucky Luke Robitaille, has decided that he's going to hang it up. hang up the skates at the end of the season. The NHL's 10th all-time leading goal scorer talked about how tough a decision it's been for him.
Without further ado, I just want to let everybody know it has your ups and it has your downs. I mean, the past 2 weeks has been the biggest weeks of my life, the hardest weeks of my life. But I'm thank God for managing it to come out. And the process by itself is real hectic.
He's French Canadian.
You have to make
Lucky Luke Robitaille. French Canadian? Yes.
Can I hear that? Is there a little more of that?
Well, I mean,
without further ado.
Canadians, like, you know, that the Canadian guys, a lot of them are like, take off, eh? You know, hello, you know.
Yeah,
but the French Canadian, they have a different kind of an accent.
Evidently, yeah.
Without further ado.
See?
Right.
It's different.
I see.
Also, the big news is the charge being made by the San Jose Sharks. On fire, hurtling towards the playoffs. A couple weeks ago, they weren't even going to be in there. Then their leading goal scorer, Jonathan Chichu.
Chichu!
The finest name in sports. Paid a visit to this show, and we counted. He started out, I said, learn to put something behind the Chichu. He started out with this.
Chichu.
Heart in the right place.
Yeah.
But then I coached him. Here he goes.
Chichu! Yeah.
And now everyone's singing it. Last night, he scored goals 50 and 51.
Wow.
Most goals ever by a San Jose Shark. And he's, you know, everyone's on cloud nine as they move into the playoffs, and everyone's saying Chichu.
Wow. That is exciting.
Chichu. Chichu. Jonathan. Chichu. 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 Jonathan. Chichu.
Wow.
Chichu. All right, that's that. Game over.
Dave Damashek, game over. Number one.
Sir G gets to say, you know, his little catchphrase.
Yeah, Doug,
game over is mine.
Sir G, what's your catchphrase?
And that's the way it goes, man.
So that's at the end of the entertainment report, and then the end of the sports report is
game over.
Game over.
Right. I've got to get me one. Let's work on
that. You
got to
get one.
Yeah.
We'll work on it.
Hi, Poppy.
Yeah, I Poppy would be nice. Yeah, do it. Give us a, that was the news, and then the I Poppy. But do it like Sergeant grabbed your ass and you slapped him.
I'm a method actor.
Can you please get your hand off my ass, Sergeant?
Do the I. Yeah, here's the thing.
That sounds painful. I've like
learned from going to Tijuana strip clubs. You know, here's the thing. Like in out here in the States, if you're sitting around a strip club and you grab a little thigh or ass when the chick walks by, she just calls a huge bouncer in and he drags you out. They do their own bouncing, and they do it in the form of stiletto heel to the forehead. You grab at the Tijuana dancer and she gives you the boot. I've seen them kick guys in the head and stuff. Aye! And they always do the eye. It's the Mexican key eye. Aye! Everyone's a black belt over there. And they kick you right in the head.
In India, the girl would just take off just enough to show you her face. Beautiful.
She's wearing that pasty in the middle of her forehead.
Yeah.
Starts to peel it back a little.
Oh, it's enticing.
Did they put a tassel on that dot ever?
One tassel right in the middle. I must go and leave myself.
All right. So it's a young man. Veins coursing with testosterone. All right, let's take a break, but not before everyone gives their outro call. We'll start with Doug Sergeant, and then we'll go to Christina, and then Dave Damashek, yes?
And that's the way it goes, man.
I'm Christina, and that's the news. Aye, Poppy!
Game over.
Nice.
You got a good one.
All right, and mahalo. We'll take ourselves a break. Daisy Fuentes is coming in here. Speaking of aye, Poppies. She's coming in. We'll talk to her right after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. And do it right now.
Daisy Fuentes is here.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yes.
I love when that happens.
Live studio audience, just for you.
Daisy, it struck me as I was looking down at my card, seeing about the old MTV days and all
the
that.
Good
what,
old days.
What year did you start at MTV?
1988.
Really?
Can you stand it?
I you know, I know it sounds like I'm just blowing smoke your way. Maybe it's the Pilates, the clean living, or the Cuban heritage. But did you start when you were 11?
Yes, I did.
Wow, 11-year-old BJ.
It's funny because I try to lie about my age like everybody else in this town does, but mm-hmm. I can't because people just keep coming up to me saying, I grew up watching you on TV.
Yeah, it's tough. If you're on MTV and people have seen you when they're in junior high, then they can always do the math.
Oh,
you
completely.
Can't possibly. If the guy who was watching you when he was in the ninth grade is now 34, you can't possibly be 31. You couldn't have been in the sixth grade. Well, it's gonna. Yes.
No, I'm 39. It's been a good long run. It's MTV was almost
unbelievable.
You look brand new.
Thank you.
Is it the clean living?
I don't know. It must be that California air.
It's the heritage. You're Cuban, right?
I'm Cuban and Spanish. Yeah.
How did that work? Were your folks born in Cuba?
I was born in Cuba.
You were born in Cuba.
I was born in Cuba. Went to Spain when I was almost nine.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Spain till I was almost nine, and then went to Jersey. So I went to high school in Jersey.
Wow. See, for me, you just replace Cuba and Spain with North Hollywood and Van Nuys, and you have the exact same tale.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I know.
So I feel a kinship. And so you go from Spain to Jersey, and there's no problem getting over here?
Well, no, not from Spain. The problem was leaving Cuba with nothing, you know, political turmoil, the whole nine. But my mom was from Spain, and at the time, you were still allowed to leave through Spain.
Uh-huh.
So we just took advantage and left with nothing.
And literally. You were allowed into this country under what pretense?
Our family was here. Things were a lot easier back then, but my grandparents were already here. So
I see.
We kind of...
Wow,
went
Spain,
the family route.
Spain to New Jersey seems like quite an adjustment.
Culture shock.
Would imagine, yeah.
English as a second language.
And,
not bad, by the way, right?
And no, not at all.
Thanks.
Unbelievable. We have had two Latina foxes running through this studio unchecked.
Can you stand it?
Como se dice, ooh la la.
Hi, papi. Hi, papi is right.
Wow. See, Cuba, other than the Fidel Castro part, sounds like a pretty good place.
Exactly, it is. That's pretty much the problem.
I would like to go, and you know, people do that, the Cuban people are the greatest in the world. Why don't they kill Castro if they're the greatest people in the world?
The bastard's like 100 and he won't go away. What does it take?
If I was Castro, I'd be laughing like a hyena every day I woke up and every night before I went to bed.
If you think
about the people, I mean, from Kennedy, first off, Kennedy obviously tried to put him in the ground 40 years ago. It didn't work out.
Right.
Since then, 1,000 Kennedys have died. We've been through 70 presidents, and he's still just sitting there chomping on a cigar, talking about playing baseball.
That he sleeps in a different place every night. Like, he won't, you can't, because so many people are trying to light him up.
You're a vision. You could seduce him.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes, right. I dream of it. I could do it.
Seduce him, and then, when he gets close, take him out.
Yes. Yes.
I hadn't thought of it, but it could
be. No, you could get in. Daisy Fuentes, pilgrimage back to Cuba, photo op. He'd be excited to see you. Here's what we start. We start with a little campaign. Starts today on this show.
Okay.
You start talking about Cuba. You take umbrage. What do you mean? Fidel Castro is a great man.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great leader.
Yes.
I will not sit here and take this. Eventually, it starts filtering back to Fidel. There's a beautiful young model for Kohl's, or spokesperson for Kohl's, Miss America and Miss Universe. She's out here talking about how great you are, El Presidente. It starts filing back. Then a few months, we set up a visit.
Right.
Meanwhile, we load you to the gills with TNT.
Exactly.
Plastique!
Is there anything that goes with Viagra that could just do him off instantly, like some counter-effect drug?
Interesting.
Oh, you feed him the pill.
I was thinking about you sort of, you know, sacrificing yourself for the greater good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be better just to kill him and then you get back out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're right. The photo op would be phenomenal. I could maybe even bring the Estefans with me.
It would be difficult for a few. But Gloria. It would be difficult for a few months. You'd take a lot of heat in these states when you're sitting, you know, next to Letterman talking about how with your Fidel Castro, your shirt on, smoking a cigar and wearing an army hat and stuff.
Yes.
You'd take a little heat, but eventually it would pay off. You'd return like a conquering hero when you came back to the States.
My family would be kicked out of Miami, but it'd all be worth it in the end.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be
you
great.
Do like you do like in Godfather 2. You go up to the cardinal, you say like, I have to tell you something.
Yes.
And then you go up to him, you get right next to him, and then you take a pen and stuff it in his
exactly.
eye.
Exactly. I hadn't thought of it, but it's a good plan.
Daisy, have you and I seen each other since we did our presenting at the Teen Choice Awards?
How many years ago was that?
Well, I think we're both teens.
Yeah, I think so too.
Do you remember what happened?
No.
Fireworks.
Me, you, and Dr. Drew waiting in the wings, ready to head out on stage. I explained to you at the last second we're not going to be reading the teleprompter.
Yes. It didn't really surprise me, though.
No, but do you remember what you said?
No.
I said, me, Dr. Drew, and you were all just standing in the wings,
yeah.
and the... As you know, doing the award show thing is much different than anything else. It's always a huge crowd. It's never funny. It's always a little surreal. There's always the big house announcer. Now, welcome from MTV, Loveline, and VJ, whatever. And they do that other thing, and then you come out, and a smattering of applause, usually. And then they have this huge teleprompter. It's the size, you know, it's really the size of, you know, stadium scoreboard, right? And they just have a bunch of junk that's written in it that you never read. I said, screw that. We're doing our own thing. And you said, no, we should read. We should read what's on there. And I said to you, in 40 years from now, Daisy, do you want to look back 40 years from now and think, well, I just went out there in the Teen Choice Awards and read what was on the teleprompter. And you looked at me and you said, I'm worried about right now.
Yeah.
And then we went out there.
See, it's almost 40 years later.
Yeah, but it worked out, right?
Does anybody really care?
No, that's my point. I knew it 5 years ago. That's all I'm saying. 6 years ago, whenever the hell it was. Daisy, I also saw you doing a little dog whispering episode. Which
Did
my,
you see that? Yeah.
Yes, my wife is enthralled with this man who whispers to the dog in a language I can't understand when he's talking. Yeah, you can hear him.
Yeah.
How did that work? Did it work? Did the dog whisper?
He's really good, and I think most of the problem is that I didn't keep up with what he told me to do.
How did it go?
It went really well. Like, the dog really responded to him, and he just laughs at me. So I think the problem is me.
But what do you think? I get the feeling like if the dog whisperer came to my house, he'd be like, can you believe this bitch is paying me $250 for saying nothing?
Exactly.
Mugga, 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 blah, blah, blah. Okay. Now, I'm going to break on the count of three. You give the closest you can do to a nod.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. That's not as bad as the woman, as the dog psychiatrist. Have you seen her?
No, not seen her.
Yeah, she's a woman that just looks at the dog and tells you what the dog is saying about you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's on Animal Planet.
That's all I need.
That's wacky.
Yeah, that's all. And then I start beating the dog and yelling it's a liar.
Now, Daisy, you're spoken for these days, yes?
I am.
You have a man?
Look at that ring.
I got a man.
Let me see what that...
Oh, I'm not wearing mine. I'm just wearing my gold stuff.
Those are just...
Oh, but he did give me this for Valentine's.
Yeah. How many carats is that? What's going on with that?
A bunch of little carats.
Yeah, but they add up to one big one,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You in love?
One.
When are you getting married?
One of these days.
You don't have kids?
No kids.
What's going on? 39? You're from Cuba. You should have 28 kids
age
39.
I know, but I'm very Americanized.
Really?
It was that whole MTV era kind of screwed
me up. Do you want kids?
I would love kids. And I mean, you're so lucky you're having twins.
Yes. Yes.
My sister has twins, and I hear that you're looking for baby names, so.
Oh,
I've
yes.
got a couple for you.
Yeah, what do you got? What do you got
well,
for me?
Well, I thought you could name them after my dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Alfie and Rita.
Alfie.
That'll be nice when you explain to the children. When they were named after Daisy Fuentes' dogs.
Well, they don't have to know.
Alfie and Rita.
Make up some brilliant story. Hey, it could be worse. It could be Moses and Apple.
Right. Okay. That's very true. Alfie and Rita, not bad.
That's pretty
Rita's
sexy.
A little rough. Rita's tough on the chick, but...
You know, she's going to be a sexy, flirty thing or a porn star with Rita.
Ooh, perfect. We'll keep our fingers crossed for the porn star, because I'm always looking for fresh material and a discount.
No, Rita's a great name. Iconic.
Rita. Really?
Yeah.
I don't
Rita
know.
Rita Hayworth.
Know, well, I think Rita used to be a hot name, and then somehow it went south. I'm trying to think of the other names that used to be hot and then went south, but Rita definitely went south at some point.
Maybe when I named my Wheaton Terrier.
Yeah. Alfie and Rita.
Yeah.
Anything or, anything else? What?
Or Daisy for the girl and Donald for the boy, because in Disney
they
do go out. Yeah.
Right.
Daisy and Donald.
Daisy's solid. I know it's your name, but I still like it. But
yeah,
then but you know what? I don't think it flows well with Corolla.
Daisy Corolla.
I like it.
Not bad.
That's
nice.
It's really good.
All right. What are your sister's kids' names?
Christian and Alexander.
Yeah, you end up just getting called Chris and Alex, though, eventually. No matter what the parent does, once the kids break loose and head out in the world, they just get shortened up.
Yeah.
I want to give you a little plug, by the way, because you've been so sweet. Cole's Moms of the World Essay Contest. How does this work?
It's a really cool contest. You don't have a clothing line at Kohl's.
I don't?
I do.
Oh, you do?
I have a fantastic clothing line at Kohl's, and I've hooked up with them to do this really cool contest. It's called Mom's the Word, and it's an essay contest, so people can write in about their moms or whoever their mentor is, and people will vote online for their favorite one, and there'll be $1,000 runner-up.
And what's the grand prize?
The grand prize is $5,000. Shopping spree, a trip to LA for Fashion Week, which I will go with them.
Is it the girl and her mom or the boy?
It'll be whoever sent in the essay for the person and the winner.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have a makeover transformation that I will help with. They get a trip to LA. They're not from here, but we'll go to Fashion Week together. We'll do a whole bunch of fun stuff. And people do get to vote online from May 3rd. Through the 8th, you know, the public will vote online for their favorite essay.
I miss the essays. I miss the 100,000th shopper that passed through the door.
Right?
I miss the name, you know, the jingle, name the product, here's what you get. There was a better time, and now everyone's just scratching lotto tickets and heading out to Pechanga to play a little pan poker.
But there was deal or no deal.
Yeah, there was a time when you could come up with a good name for a product and win a life supply of. I've always been, half the sitcoms I watched growing up seemed to rely very heavily on the 100th or 1,000th or whatever customer. Balloons would start falling from the sky. It was always my dream when my mom
well,
and I.
Well, this is close to that.
Yeah, this is it. Write an essay.
Whoever the winner
judges the essay?
People do.
Daisy.
Everybody. The public.
She's going to personally go through
the
hall.
We all can go online and vote for our favorite essay.
I see. And the one that sums up mom the best.
Right. Like, there will be a bunch of us at Kohl's that will pick 10 runner-ups. And those 10 people will get $1,000 shopping spree and $1,000 donated to a youth-serving nonprofit. And from all those 10, the public will choose the $5,000 grand prize winner.
And then you get them a makeover, you take them to here for Fashion Week, and do all that. You know, the best makeover in the world would be? The one where somebody wins the makeover, they sit down in the chair, you come up to them and go, nah, there's nothing we could do for this. It'd be like painting a mustache on the Mona Lisa. That's my point. That's my point. But here's the thing. That's my idea for a makeover show. You don't make the person over, because they make the person over. They have some guy, you know, they have Jorge of Beverly Hills with the stupid cowboy hat and the ponytail come up and spread his hep C all over him while he's futzing with their hair, and they put the makeup on and they do all the stuff, and then they go home and it just washes away. It's like a sandcastle
but
at the ocean.
But do they not learn anything?
They're right back to their crappy, I was going to say New Jersey. teased Bangs hair. They're right back to that crappy look. 5 minutes later, they look like they're riding the back of an IROC Z circa 1988. They're a mess. But the confidence you would give a woman if you just looked at her with a team of professionals and go, there's no modifications I would make. There's nothing. Don't touch it. It's art. That person would leave brimming with confidence, and it would carry over into their personal life, into their professional life. They would ascend to the top of the heap just riding that crest of confidence.
You think?
That's what you should do.
It wouldn't be riveting television or anything.
I know,
like
I want you staring at a 300-pound chick in stretch pants and a bouffant and go, there's nothing we can do. She's chewing her gum. She's got a blue eyeliner on, and you go, I wouldn't touch it.
You know what would be riveting, though, is have you ever seen when they do the Harley dudes? The wife doesn't like the Harley guy anymore. He's got the big Fu Manchu and the long
hair.
Ponytail and everything. So they make him over and they dye his hair, and he's got short hair and he looks like a nerd, a middle-aged nerd. The camera should follow him when he goes to hook up with his Harley chum. Hey, guys, what's up? Who's this puss? Let's get him, guys, and they kill him.
Right.
They kill him.
Good thinking. All right. Jeff?
Yes?
You have a question for Daisy?
Yeah, I was wondering, she's engaged, right?
Yes. Is she engaged, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I was wondering, who is it still Robbie?
Who?
Robbie?
I was never engaged to Robbie.
Oh, I was wondering if you had a threesome with him.
Okay. Yeah, she's not even going to dignify that
yes,
with an answer.
The threesome. I forgot all about.
Did you have a threesome
with Robbie?
No.
You don't know Robbie?
No, I don't know Robbie.
You didn't have a threesome with him. Sometimes you're pretty drunk and you have threesomes. You don't remember everyone that's involved.
I take pictures for that same reason.
All right, well.
And I don't remember Robbie.
It happened at that award show. You hit on her after you guys presented that award. She's like, not interested, loser.
Yeah.
She met Robbie and Dr. Drew.
Oh, but Drew was in.
Yeah.
Drew was in. All right. Well, Daisy, I want to thank you for coming in. I do appreciate it.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Your
nice
breath
to see
of fresh
you guys.
Air,
you
baby.
You fired me up.
Yeah, come back anytime you
I
like.
I will. Thank you.
Again, what you do is you go to Kohl's.com. You write about your mom. Now, Dave, I know your mom is listening and has written several essays about her son, but
right.
this wouldn't
this is
apply.
The other way around.
This
right.
is the other way around. You would have to write one about your mother. Get to work on that, Dave, would you please? Go to Kohl's.com, write about your mom, and then you win the makeover. Or as I say, the ultimate makeover, not touching a thing. Heavy. Think about it. Daisy Fuentes, everyone. We'll be right back. Wanda Sykes coming up after this. Oh, Drunken Tree mascot coming in, too, after this.
Louis Louis. Oh, no. Me gotta go. Ay, ay, ay. I say, Louis Louis. Oh, baby. We got to go. My little girl, wait up for me. Can't accept a want to see. Tell that ship about all alone. Never know if I make it home. Louie, Louie, oh no. We got to go. Ay, 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 I say, Louie, Louie. Oh, baby, me got to go. I can't feel the bass.
That's a little deaf frat guy doing a little karaoke action.
Maverick.
Maverick.
Somebody we got to get him together with.
Yeah.
Match made in heaven. Crazy frat dude.
A drunk tree mascot.
Get your hands off
easy,
me.
Easy, Bruska. Now, here's the situation with our drunken tree mascot. The tree mascot was the mascot over at Stanford University.
Right. Until she got kicked out. She was fired as the mascot
got
because
fired,
she
decided
was drunk during
to
a
get
game.
Fired.
Well, you were caught drinking inside your tree outfit.
She wears the big tree mascot costume at ball games and I guess was drunk at one of them a few weeks back and got fired from that, so we hired her on.
Well, we needed a mascot, and we asked her to sober it up, clean it up, just focus on the mascotting and a little less on the boozing.
Adam Carolla. 59, dude.
Yeah, you seem drunk.
I am drunk.
All right, well, we've asked you not to drink.
Well, I try, but it's so hard to get up.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just, you know, get nervous. Hi, Rachel Perrier.
No, that's Christina.
Yeah. Smells like cake in here.
Well, that may be your perfume.
Ooh.
I know how girls can be a little petty, a little bit jealous sometimes. So
Miller Lite.
All right, just please, if that's to take the edge off, that's one thing. But I don't want you getting any drunker than you already are.
That's what the fireman said to me. He said he was going to MySpace me, but then he didn't. And then once I got on there, there was like this big talk of Huffa Buffa. And Gita got to go to the gum. Anyway, you don't even know me.
You're on MySpace trying to pick up a fireman?
Yeah, and it's like, his picture's like a fire hat. So I was like, sweet. And then it's like, why didn't you respond to it?
Okay.
Does anyone have a bucket?
All right, hold on a second. We need to take a break. We have the drunken tree mascot here.
Now we Adam Carolla.
We asked you to do some cheers and to have some cheers ready for us.
Oh, yeah.
No, not yet. We're going to take a break. Wanda Sykes is coming up. We're also going to take a break. We'll come back. You do some of the cheers for us, all right?
Where am I?
We're here in the studio. All right, you tell us a little more about your sex life and the MySpace thing and the firemen and all that.
Sweet.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-8AM.
All righty, Wanda Sykes is waiting in the wings. We will bring her in just a few minutes. We have our Drunken Tree mascot here. Her name is Erin. She was formerly a student over at Stanford University, tossed out for drinking while in the mascot outfit. They've actually lost two tree mascots in as many weeks. We needed a mascot. They found this story in the paper and said, we need a mascot. Bring her out.
Serendipity, I figured.
Yeah, what? Right.
Background and cheering, we could use, you know.
I knew a serendipity once.
No. What we're saying, it's lucky. It's a good thing. It's fortunate for us.
I feel like I've partied with Erin before. I think we like know each other.
Hi, BB.
You're probably a little too good looking to hang out with the likes of Erin.
I think you're my best friend.
Wow. We were best friends, that's for sure.
Erin?
Yeah.
I forgot. I love you.
Erin's a big gal, but a lot of fellas like that. Yeah, you're husky. You're strong. I said she punched the Hooters punching bag thing and got like a 6'10 or something.
Wow.
Yeah, big, more than me and Big Ted put together.
I have.
Okay.
All right. My dad.
You got that going for you.
Yeah.
So the point.
59, dude.
Yeah, a woman of her carriage. A woman of her carriage couldn't be a cheerleader, but she, you know,
definitely could be a mascot. Yeah.
Hopefully add some cheers.
Yeah, so we're talking about last time you getting some cheers together and sobering up a little and coming in here and really representing the show.
I got some pretty sweet ones.
All right, well, let's hear what you got for the show.
Okay. I just thought of something, and this is like out of nowhere, but champagne makes me fart. Okay? This is not my fault, okay? This is bubbles. Okay. Can you give me, everybody help me out when I do my, when I do the one part and then you guys do the other thing?
Okay.
Get.
Oh, God.
I think I'm going to need a bucket. Give me an A.
A.
Give me a D.
D.
A. Give me a Three. I forgot the rest. What is it spell, though?
Add three.
Okay, I need to work on that one. But okay, I got another one.
Okay.
This one's about bruschetta.
Brusca?
What?
His name is Jimmy Brusca, he's our producer.
Yeah, bruschetta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Bruschetta eats feta, and then he goes to betta. That's why he's a little piggy. Oink, oink, little piggy.
That's a good cheer.
Yeah. That's a...
Yeah.
Not what we were looking for.
Are you attracted to Brusca, though?
No.
Really?
What a shame.
A little more shame.
I'm kidding.
All right, don't, you're hurting him.
She's tickling
him. He deserves
him.
It. Looking at me with his eyes taking my pants off.
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
Yeah, that was him. Do you have any other? I know, it's hard. But again, we want you to represent the show. We'd like you to work out over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we do some sort of personal appearance or we go out, we go to like a... you know, we go out to some mattress store or something in Covina, and we're doing a Saturday thing.
Energize the crowd.
Yeah, whip up the crowd.
I made a commercial.
All right. What?
Corolla, Ebola, put them together, make cola. Adam Corolla, Ebola cola.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, no, it's not bad, but I mean, do you have a cheer, something a little up tempo, something to get the crowd going?
Ready?
Uh-huh.
Corolla.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that's an old one, though. I mean, nothing. So, all right. No, listen. Erin, I'm not coming down on you. I'm just saying I think you could do better. That's all.
Why aren't you coming down on me? I'm just kidding. I'm going to be a comedian. I do have one. This is a self-motivated one.
Okay.
Stop. Cheer, stop. I was trying to make something up on the spot. Whatever. Shut up. I hate you. I'm hungry. I want some mashed potatoes and cottage chicken.
Okay, well. Hold on a second, drunken tree mask.
Hold on a second.
Well, we wanted to play this with Christina Guerrero.
Not her best ever.
Beautiful news girl. Dave, you brought in some stuff from Playboy, some of the questions.
Yeah, I thought we should get to know
stuff.
Christina.
I love Christina.
All right, let's just put this in her moment.
So.
Let's put the tree mascot thing behind us. That was uncomfortable. So let's, right. Christina, in order to get to know you, I thought I'd ask you some questions straight from the pages of Playboy, the centerfold questions, and maybe Adam can help you out and stuff. I don't know if the tree mascot needs to.
I'll just answer questions, too.
Well, why don't you just hang tight?
Yeah.
Just hang back a little bit. Right, let Christina answer the questions.
So let's... All right, Christina, I'll start out with this one. If you were an animal, you would be...
Do I get, like, multiple choice?
Yeah.
No, you don't. You got to come up with one.
If I were an animal, I would be a... Oh, man. I've never done Playboy before. That's why this is so hard for me.
The day is young.
I would be a caterpillar. Yeah.
Yeah.
And because it's like an extra eyebrow that moves. And then one time I said I was going to go over there by the thing, and then they all cried at me. But they know that.
Okay.
I did it.
All right. Let's let Christina answer.
Christina, let's move on down.
We'll give an animal. We need an animal.
Okay, I guess I'd be a tiger, because I'm fierce and I'm determined.
I like that.
Don't mess with me.
Yeah.
I'll get my way.
I like
that's
that.
That's good.
Pussy.
If I made you into an animal, you'd be a fox. Mm. Or I guess that would be redundant, because you already are one.
Ooh, I like that.
All right.
You should do this.
Number two.
Some books you're reading.
Oh, gosh. I was going to bring this up during the religion thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren.
Mm.
Have you guys heard of it?
No, but we're light. We're intellectual lightweights.
Yeah.
I want to answer it.
Okay, quickly.
Is Us Weekly a book?
No,
I think it's a magazine.
All right.
Is it?
Okay.
My answer is no.
Okay.
Some
hang back,
Christina.
Again. This
you want
is kinda...
me to be quiet?
Well, I'm just saying, hang
what
back.
Is
we're putting the spotlight
this is Christina's
on Christina.
Kinda time
here. There's lights all over the studio.
I'm just saying, hang back a little. Let's see if we can get to know Christina.
Be quiet,
just a little bit. Just hang back, just a little bit.
Just hang back.
Yeah, Christina.
Yeah. Carilla.
Your favorite foods, Christina?
Sushi, my favorite food, but comfort food is tacos.
I like fruit roll-ups and chocolate and Kentucky Fried Chicken and squash and Jell-O and Diet Coke.
Yeah, we did the sprouts and tofu math and figured out that it may not be on your top 10.
Who?
You know what I'm saying.
Right, maybe it's best. We're trying to talk to Christina.
Well, you know what? This is like, I feel like I'm being isolated.
Well, it's just Christina.
I feel like that time I was putting time out.
Christina's kind of...
And then the mailman came over.
I don't want to make you feel bad, but she's foxy.
Right,
she's doing the news. We'd really like to just get to know her.
Well, then just get to know her, because I'm out of here. This is just a bunch of crap. Yeah. It's the same thing. Everything.
All right.
Okay.
Shame
it. All right. Preska, show drunken tree mascot girl the door, please, if that's okay. Just show her the door. Okay.
Right. I'm glad we didn't have to do that. Ask her this question.
I don't know why
we
have her back every week. You know, it's the same old thing. We ask her to memorize some cheers to sober up, and it never happens.
You're trying to do her, you know, help her move on with her life, you know, trying to do something good
for
somebody.
At a certain point, though, I think we have to cut our losses.
Mm-hmm.
This could be it.
She doesn't want to help herself.
Right, right.
All right, Christina, what drives you wild?
Hey, I got a new chair. I forgot one. And then... As I was French kissing Tad, he reminded me.
I need a bucket.
And then...
Yeah.
And here... Okay, hold on. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. We got spirits. Yes, we do. Has anyone seen my tampon?
Okay.
I need it back.
I don't think that's how it goes. It's we got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you? And then you point at the other crowd.
That's how it's done.
And they do the same thing, and they point back.
It's not, you don't point and ask if you, they've seen your tampon.
Let's just point.
Right, that's enough. Brasco.
I took social studies and none of this is working
right, just point
out.
Drunken tree mascot to the door, would you please? Sorry, Christina.
That's all right. That was entertaining.
She's groping.
Wow.
Brasco.
All right.
And Brusca's bosom.
Okay.
Which Brusca's into.
Sorry.
All right, back to you, Christina.
Okay, back to me, exciting life.
What drives you wild?
Music.
Mm.
Like.
What kind of music?
Like Pearl Jam or like James Blunt or just good music.
What about
sexy music?
What about Locking Eyes with Me?
No. Nope,
wild?
For me. I'm just kidding.
Creep. Wow. All right. The sexiest man alive is?
Sexiest man alive, Tad?
All right.
No,
all right, come on.
Brusca.
This is a risk. Would you lock
Jimmy
the door?
Jimmy Kimmel's in Bits and Bits and Bits. That's my mama.
Okay, but now it's
I
just,
want him to be with
it's really, it's just gibberish now, Brusca. I don't even understand what Drunken Tree Mascot is saying.
Come on.
Now get her out of there.
Come on.
Yeah. Let's wrap this.
Give me a thing of pickles.
Right. Don't mock Brusca.
Don't mock.
Let's just do our own thing over here. All right. And we'll let them do their own thing over there.
Christina.
Sorry.
The most unusual place.
No. Please, Brusca, watch the door now. Sorry.
You can't help
me. All right, listen, and I don't want to. If I see her and Tad tonguing again, I'm going to vomit.
That was pretty interesting.
All right, last question. Okay, Wanda Sykes is waiting to come in here.
The most unusual place you've had sex, Christina.
Adam!
Okay.
The most unusual place I've ever had sex is probably on my way to Vegas, pulled over to the side of the road.
Oh,
I like
sexy.
That.
For me, it's the Lincoln Monument. Right in the lap. Yeah.
Wow.
High noon on a Sunday. Yeah.
I said before, the most unusual place I've had sex is in Brusca's ear.
Kick me out.
All right, that's it. All right, that's no. You don't need that kind of language. We're going to take a break. Wanda Sykes. Thank you, Christina. I'm sorry for that.
Wanda Sykes
is coming in here. Drunken Tree Mascot. We're going to have to ask you to leave now. All right, we're not going to MySpace you. Just sober up. Go out in the green room and sober up and leave Wanda Sykes. No, don't cry. Just leave Wanda Sykes alone. Wanda will be in here next.
Hey, this is Danny Bonaducci, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Wanda Sykes in studio. Hey, listen, Drunken Tree Mascot, you're going to have to get out of here. It's enough. It's sad. It's so pathetic. I feel bad. Look, you're a nice girl. I think you're a bad person, but you drink too much. You come in ill. You're not prepared when you come in. We've given you a chance after chance. You come in.
Get your hands Brusca, off don't, me. I will call the cops.
I don't think you can. Look. Here's the point. If you could sober up and show up halfway prepared, maybe we could take you on as a mascot. But we've given you five chances, and you disappoint each time.
Give me five more.
No, we can't do that. We're trying to do a show.
Oh,
Wanda Sykes is here. Yes.
Wanda Sykes. Black people love me. Let me stay.
Not anymore.
Get the hang of it. I don't need it.
Okay, just, Brusca, show her to the door, please.
Get out of here.
Okay.
Adam! Okay.
Wanda, I'm sorry.
Wow.
It's just she's got a drinking problem. It's a disease, I guess. It's not quite like sickle cell or cancer or anything, but it is, I guess, technically a disease. And I guess we should.
You don't send no fruit baskets, though. You know, like.
Yeah, it's a good point.
You know, other diseases, you send them flowers or fruit baskets.
Yeah, guy gets lupus. You don't hate his guts for molesting you.
Not at all.
Yeah,
not at all.
That's a good point. It's a good point. Write that down. All right, Brusca, just sort of watch the door. I don't want her rolling back in here again. Wanda, thanks for coming on the show. Sorry you had to experience that.
Thanks for having me, man.
Wanda's going to be at the Moore Theater in Seattle, April 14th and 15th. When is that? That's Friday?
Yeah, this Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Also, Juan and I go way back to Crank Yankers, where she was Gladys Murphy.
nice time sitting in that recording booth with you, yelling at people about bowel movements in the backs of Toyotas.
You know, how many people stop me for that? They love that bit.
Yeah, oh,
the
do we hear?
Turd in the back seat. Everybody, I was like, that's going to be my legacy, man. I was hoping I could leave something more to this world than the turd in the back seat, but.
You know, yeah, well, that's how it goes.
Whatever you can contribute.
Let's hear just a bit of that. Oh, I like this song. I forgot about how much I like this song.
Thank you for calling. This is T. Tony. How may I help you?
I just picked up my 92 Accord from your lot, and there is a huge turd in the back seat.
And there's what in the back seat?
A turd. A big-ass human turd in the back seat of my car.
Ma'am, I assure you, our guys did not take a dump in your car. If you want to, bring that car back, and we'll take a look at it.
You want to take a look at it? My car is fine. It's that big-ass turd in the back seat.
Okay, what would you like me to do?
Okay.
I mean, what does it look like?
You know, sold your ass to the devil. That came from the pits of hell.
Oh, can't believe that kind of comedy's not on the air anymore.
I know.
What a void in the comedy world.
They first did that bit on I Love Lucy, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a classic.
And then Show of Shows, and then Crank Anchor. Oh, we should have got a Clio or an Emmy. What do they give you for riding?
Peabody.
A Peabody. We really should have got a Peabody for that turd in the back of the Accord bit. Crank Yankers was fun. We'd go down to Vegas. We'd sit in a booth for a recording studio for 5 hours. Guys writing on Sharpie, using Sharpies on the like Marks-A-Lot board. And then was off to see a show, hit a buffet. You hung out, right?
Yeah, that was a fun gig, man. Like you said, you're in Vegas.
You know, I'm looking at your resume here, and I realize you've kind of had a pretty eclectic and sort of fun career. I mean, you've done a lot of features, but then, of course, doing Curb Your Enthusiasm and Crank Yankers and Inside the NFL, a nice kind of mixture, a nice sprinkling, as opposed to just getting painted into a sitcom corner and doing that for 10 years.
Right. It's not just all UPN, you know.
Right.
Not for me.
Right.
Yeah.
I spread around. What is your favorite? Say Crank Anchors, please.
Well, of course, yeah, Crank Anchors. And stand-up. Stand-up is still my favorite.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Love doing stand-ups. Total freedom. You know, you get the immediate response right there from the audience, and you don't get canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
I love that.
You don't have to. I mean, financially, you're well off enough. You don't have to do stand-up, but you choose to do it.
See, I look at it the other way, is that I can make money doing stand-up, so I don't have to do all the shows and stuff. I can only, like as far as TV and movies, I can only pick the projects that I really, you know, think are good, like Crank Anchors, because, you know, I don't need a TV show to earn a living.
I want you to know, I saw Monster-in-Law on cable the other week.
Cable.
I didn't see it.
You didn't go to the theater?
I didn't catch it. Oh, you saw it in the theater?
I did see it in the theater.
Wow.
I'm a romantic comedy girl myself, so it was perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfection.
Adam, you love the chick flicks? Come on, man.
I do, and somehow... somehow I just missed it. I think I had a little bout with Epstein-Barr virus or something, and I couldn't get out of the house. I saw it. What? Not a great film, but you were great in it. You were great in it. Well, you didn't write it.
Yeah, I didn't write it.
You didn't cast it? You didn't direct it?
It was a good movie.
J-Lo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What was it like working with Hanoi Jane?
Oh, Jane and I are buddies.
Oh, please.
I'm telling you.
Say something horrible about her.
We're buddies.
Buddies how? You don't hang out.
Have you spoke since you rapped?
Yeah, I talked to her last weekend.
No.
Really?
Honestly, yeah.
You and Jane bond on the telephone.
Whenever I'm in Atlanta, she comes out to the show. We go get something to eat, and we two-way each other all the time. Yeah.
Wow.
She introduced me to Big Boy and Outkast and Dallas Austin and...
Really?
Jane is real cool.
Really?
Very cool. Just got a new hip, so now she's back out there, you know, doing her thing. I'm like, Jane, I ain't going to the club tonight.
That's
hot. She wants to take her new hip out, you know.
I'm falling.
Sure.
And I can't get up.
And how about Larry David? Cool?
Yeah, Larry's a cool guy. Mm-hmm. We don't hang out, though.
If
but
you
he's
don't,
cool.
I'll tell you what, if you don't like somebody, you just repeat the name twice. So I go, oh. How about Larry David? And you go, you know, Larry's Larry.
Oh,
that
okay.
way it doesn't sound
it.
Bad, but we know
Ooh,
the code
good.
For
okay.
a-hole.
All right, okay, I got it.
You want to try
right.
that again? How about Larry David?
Oh, Larry's a good guy.
You want to do a Larry's Larry?
Not going to do a Larry's Larry.
Okay.
He's cool. No, he is. He's all cool. Right. He's just awkward, you know? It's just,
he's
can't like have a conversation with him.
There's some people that seem uncomfortable in their own skin.
Yeah.
A lot of comedians.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of geniuses.
Right.
Yeah, no, I don't know where I was going, but I mean, don't you think they're saying, say Larry's Larry if you don't have anything to say. Uh-huh. Now, don't you think a lot of people that are really bright and really talented when they're not doing what they're doing, when they're
yeah.
not doing the stand-up, when they're not in front of the camera, seem almost awkward and uncomfortable?
Yeah, I see that. Like Prince, he seems like that.
Yeah.
Like,
and like Adam
yeah,
Carolla.
If he's not somewhere on stage with his butt cheeks out, the man just doesn't feel right.
Right, if he's not wearing chaps,
yeah,
he's just off.
Ugh.
Right.
What is his trick? Why is it that he gets so many women? He's 5'2".
I don't know.
Have you ever been with him?
No, I haven't been. I'm too scared.
Really?
Yeah, not that he's ever tried, but that's even if he did, I would. That's one I would have to pass up. Because, you know, you'd be ruined for everybody else. Look what Apollonia, Vanity, look at them.
Yeah.
They're done.
Yeah.
Not, yeah.
He soiled them.
Yeah,
really.
He drove them like a rental car and then threw them in a drainage ditch
and
on the side of
the
road.
Insurance. Yeah, it's like a rental car with insurance.
Yeah, it's like a road trip, bunch of frat guys in a Ford Taurus just destroying it. Smoking, they got a keg in the trunk.
No,
cigarette
burns,
then they end up finding
fabric, and
they put on 40 pounds and they find Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
It's a disaster.
That's the next stop after Prince.
All right. So you're saying you would be with Prince, but there's nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go from there.
After that.
So that's a surprise, though. So Prince, Larry David, but you're most likely to hang out with Jane Fonda of that trio. Interesting.
Yeah. Hey, it's very
easy.
Cool.
I guess that.
You got a lot of range, Wanda. I want to say that. Wanda Sykes in studio. We're going to take a break. Jerron is our intern, as you know. Jerron is technically black, but that's about it. He checks the little box that says African-American, but that's as far
as
he goes.
As
far as he's usually wearing flip-flops and Dockers and a Cal Poly sweatshirt.
Oh, so the hoodie is just to throw me off right now?
Yeah. And
okay.
I'm wondering, Hootie, if Wanda could give you some. And we'll do this once in a while when we have a person of color come in here. We'll have give Jerron a couple of tips on, you know, finding his soul. So perhaps you could work with him just a little bit.
Finding his soul.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
We'll try.
He has no rudder as a black man.
Word
He's
up,
going
dog.
In a circle. Yeah, you see that?
Oh, boy, that's awful.
Yeah, Jerron, just really speak to Wanda in your normal voice, please.
So how are you doing today?
No, wonderful. Don't try to pick up on her. Just speak conversationally and casually.
Hello, Wanda. How are you?
Great.
That's good. Well, welcome to the studio. Glad to have you here.
Good to be here.
Yeah. What a wonderful day outside, right?
It's beautiful.
Spectacular.
It's beautiful.
Exactly.
A little overcast, but, you know.
A little hazy, you know.
Sad, isn't it, Wanda? Breaks your heart?
Well, you know, I'm still, like, holding my purse.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
understand.
I don't care. It doesn't matter how, you know, articulate
no, I understand.
And cool he is. Still, it's the black man. All
right.
I hear is, give me your money. You
right.
know, so.
Right, he says,
I mean,
top
I mean,
of the morning,
hear
and you hear give me
saying.
Your money.
Yeah,
right.
I can hear what he's I'm just saying, that's how the world hears him, you know.
Right,
so.
No, I understand
so
that.
So he, you know.
Smart. But I'll tell you, you can probably let go of your purse with Jerron because he really, like I said, technically black. But that's about it. But maybe when we come back, you give him some tips and pointers. You know what I mean? Sold up just a little bit. Little flavor. We'll take a break. Wanda Sykes is in studio, and we'll be back with that after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. I'm drunk. Call Adam Carolla now. At 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah, hear that, Jerron? That's what we're talking about. Jerron, the intern here. Wanda Sykes here. Wanda's going to be at the Moore Theater in Seattle this Friday and Saturday. They're doing a DVD there.
Yeah, I'm shooting the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Show up, laugh it up, you get on the DVD.
Exactly. The bigger the laugh, the better the chance you have of making the DVD.
That's right. If you're sitting there with your arms folded and a puss on, like you just bit into some bad fruit.
You're hitting the edit floor. You're not making it.
Yeah. You're not making it in.
No.
Yeah.
But you
punch the person next to you.
Why stop with P?
Oh, yeah.
You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Right. Right.
Yeah,
don't
number
stop
two.
There. Yeah,
number two.
Let it go.
Yeah, I want you to be. I want you to be like a. You should be like a thing of toothpaste that got backed over. That's like an SUV just back. You know, once in a while falls out of the shopping cart and you just back over it in the parking lot. That's what should come out of you.
Oh, God.
Paste should be coming out of you. You should be extruding.
Yes.
Solids.
Yes. That's what I want. You'll definitely make the cut. You'll definitely make the DVD.
Oh, yeah. Soil yourself, you get on the DVD.
That's going to be a bonus feature. Matter of fact.
People that soiled themselves at the Wanda Sykes concert.
Bonus feature.
We have a fan on the phone, by the way.
Really?
Chris?
Yes, sir.
You love Wanda stand-up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
Well, try to contain yourself.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just so thrown back that I'm actually talking to Wanda on the phone. I can't take it anymore. No, I really think that Wanda's a great comedian, and, I mean, I'm a young guy. I'm only 23, but ever since I first saw you, I think that you're really great, and that's all I really had to say.
Where did you see her do stand up?
Oh, good. Let me see. I was on TV. I think it was the first time I saw it.
Okay.
Cool, man.
Sounds like someone's in love.
This
is a great show.
Call
a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a good time. Wanda,
I appreciate you, Chris. Thanks, man.
How's the feud with Bill Cosby going?
Oh, we
you guys made
that's
up.
All,
yet?
Yeah, I think that's okay now. I don't
you
know.
Think?
Well,
did you talk?
I
to
couldn't
him?
Care less. So Ooh. I guess it's it's over for me.
Really, you don't care that the Cos is down on you?
I could not care less.
What?
Yeah. I really.
Now, what's the problem? What was it over?
I have no idea. The man's old. Come on.
Right.
He's old. He's, you know, he's filthy rich, so now he's the old dude on the porch telling
Iconic.
Everybody to get off
was
his
he,
yard.
Was he telling you to clean it up? Did he not like your language?
You know what? Honestly, that night, I had no idea what was going on. I didn't even absorb it because I was on my way to talk to Larry. I just stopped by and said, you know, just to crack on him and the Cosby Mysteries and then head to Larry. So I didn't even hear it. And thank God I didn't, because it would have been an ugly show.
What would you have gone with?
I don't even know where I would have started. But
well, I think Cosby. Here's what happens in life when you get to a certain age. We talk about this all the time. This is why old people just walk around in slippers and pajamas. There becomes a certain age. You get to a certain age where you don't care. The world can kiss your ass.
Right.
You don't care. You're going to be in the ground in 7 to 12 years. What do you care what people think of you? Now, you mix that with a whole bunch of FU money, and then you mix that with a sort of iconic stature in life. You know, people look at you as well. So you mix a huge ego, tons of FU money, meets, hey, I'm 71 and the world can kiss my ass, and all of a sudden, can't shut you up.
So wait, you're walking with the microphone to go talk to Larry David. You stop by Bill Cosby at the Emmys. You're the field reporter, as it were. And you stop by Bill Cosby, and what do you say?
I'm telling you.
You don't remember it?
I honestly don't. I'm serious.
But you were just saying hi, right?
Yeah, something. I was like just saying hi, and I asked him something about Larry David. All I know is he was just my segue to go talk to Larry. Basically.
Mm-hmm. It was planned.
No, not at all. Just it was in passing. I was working the crowd.
And what
I
was his answer, Eric? Did he just have a post on?
I didn't know anything about it until the next morning.
You said something slangy, right? I mean, grammatically incorrect, and he said something about that, true?
I really don't. Yeah.
He got up on his high horse.
Whatever.
Yeah. Not
Wanda
a fan.
Doesn't care.
Wanda could not care less.
Interesting.
Wow. That sounds like a decent the next WB project.
I like that.
Wanda could
you're
not
more
care
courageous.
Less.
I'd be petrified he'd run me out of the business or something.
Oh, please.
Well, yeah, but you don't have talent.
I know. Well, I'm assuming
you know
that
saying.
I achieved the station that would... Right.
I hope you take that in a spirit in which it's intended. Right, yeah. I mean, but you're talentless. Wanda's brimming with talent.
Right. Yeah, I know. Brusca could have me run out of the business. I understand, but I was assuming that...
Right. Dante?
Hey.
What's up?
I got a coworker here who thinks that she sounds like Gary Coleman.
Wanda sounds like Gary Coleman?
Yeah, I have a question.
What you talking about, Willie?
Well, maybe there's...
And I have a question for her also. Did you ever drive a school bus?
Did I ever drive a school bus?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember the little short one you were on there, man?
Oh, short bus. Snap. Not every black person has driven a school bus, Dante.
Well, Breska's the one who assumed that she said something grammatically incorrect to Bill Cosby.
No, that was Damashek.
Oh, same difference.
All right. Did you have a school bus driver named Mrs. Sykes?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, that's why I just thought about that, because I had one bus driver before named Mr. Wilson who was on Def Comedy Jam, and second time he went on there, got booed off for using the same jokes.
Wow. You've had quite a relationship with the black community.
Meanest bus driver ever, but and how
so you were like the old-ass kid still in school riding the bus, huh?
I stopped in 11th grade.
Oh, you stopped in 11th grade. You were like 22 in 11th grade? Jesus, how old are you, man?
No, I was one of them 18-year-olds who could buy cigarettes in high school.
All right, Dante. It doesn't sound like it's going that great for you. What are you doing for a living?
I sell porn.
You stay corrected, Carole.
Sorry.
I Tad came in here once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's how you should have started the show. Where do you work?
Circus of Books over in West Hollywood. Well,
Tad was in there, obviously. You sell gay porn?
Yeah.
Here's the thing about the word circus. When you see circus of something in front of a store, it either means kids are welcome and going to have a great time, or do not bring your kids in here. They will be scarred for life.
Families,
there's no in-between circus.
Families have drifted in here to turn around real quick.
I would argue that you putting circus, especially there's so many people in Los Angeles that are sightseeing. You got some nice family that's in from Kentucky. They're walking down Santa Monica Boulevard. Oh, Circus of Books. Let's get you a nice pop-up animal, but holy Christ, you walk right into the crazy gay threesome dungeon stuff. Kid scarred for life. What do you do with the Circus of Books?
Cashiering, payroll.
Is it, you know, my favorite part about the adult bookstore is when you buy a marital aid, as we like to call it, a vibrator or something like that, they have to fire it up in front of you because there's no returns.
No, right? We don't fire on them up. People do try to return them.
There's no returns on the bunny ears.
No.
You will not accept that, right?
No, especially if they're already been opened.
So you have to put a battery in it and fire it up.
I'm not firing it up for nobody.
Isn't that how it works?
Maybe at some places.
You guys at the Circus of Books. The Circus of Adult Books. You guys don't fire up the vibrator.
We don't get that many returns. Most people just, you know, try to return them after buying them real late, try to bring them back real early.
What is it? What's your hot seller right now? You do a lot of... And by the way, do people still rent porn?
Oh, yeah.
How low does your self-esteem have to be? How small does your bank account have to be to rent porn?
Oh, no, we rent a lot. The biggest seller right
now. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Tad has that. Tad got that.
That is pretty low. I don't even rent from Blockbuster anymore.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? Just buy it, man.
Listen, you can get Titanic. You can get, like, the twin disc set of Titanic for $9.99.
You come for the ambiance.
I see. It's a cruising place. What did Big Tad walk away with?
He came for some magazines. He actually had a Jimmy Kimmel badge on, the show badge.
Representing, I like that.
Yeah, I do it with him.
Yeah. When you go to the gay bookstore, Tad, I hope you're wearing the Adam Carolla ID.
You do a lot of business before 9 a.m.?
Yeah, we open at 6.
Terrific.
Jesus,
I love porn, but I don't even think about it until 8:30.
You should try.
All right, I'm going to attempt to start focusing on porn at 5:30 next time. All right. You know what else I like about the porn shop? The guy behind the counter at the porn shop was always standing on, like, 6 apple crates. He's like, his foot is straight. His head is touching the ceiling, and you're down. I don't know why you have to go visit the Wizard of Oz every time you go to the counter. But why do you guys have to stand on a 9-foot
riser?
You
feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, it's the judgment. It's
you have to stand on a podium. Yeah. I would like you guys to stand in a pit.
I think
I'm just looking at your head peeking up over the counter.
I think it's an intimidation thing because we get a lot of theft in these kind of stores.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're
just
up there
to watch everybody.
You want to see what's? You don't want any cleanups on aisle 9.
Oh no.
Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
I've been lobbying for this for quite a long time. Could you please put an orange cone as you go from the straight porn section into the gay porn section? Wanda?
It's pretty obvious.
It's obvious after about 8 steps.
Obvious.
I like it so much. But here's, you know, but it's this way every time you're walking along the straight section. Eh, what do we got here? Ooh, big top. This is nice. Ooh, little three-way action here. And then you start drifting into the gay section, and it's like, wow, those five dudes are giving it to that one chick. What the? Oh, Christ, no.
Now you're looking over your shoulder to see if anyone else has noticed you're in there.
Right.
Adam Carolla's gay.
He's hanging out in the gay. And what, you focus. You have to bring it into focus and really figure out what's going on. Because it's just a sea of flesh on the box with stuff flying everywhere. And then eventually you focus in and you realize, holy Christ, I've entered the no-fly zone.
Good Christ, I'm gay.
I've crossed the DMZ. I'm now into the gay section. And how do I get out?
I don't know what you're
saying.
Yeah, well, yeah, because usually the straight porn is, they don't put guys on the cover of
But all the gay guys are shaved clean and tanned.
Okay. All right.
So it just looks like a big ball of flesh, and you have to really do the math.
Usually when you see a little baby's arm sticking out, you know, pointing right at you, you're like, is that a baby? Oh, shit, no, that's the, okay, this
right.
is gay porn.
Yeah, that's my point. But by then, I'm already in. Here's what I'm saying. Put a speed bump down.
You want a speed bump. Okay.
I'm just saying.
Go.
So I know. You know when you're driving along the highway, you're going to Vegas, you start drifting off the road, and you hit the serrated highway. Yeah, oh, what? You wake up, and you go right back toward the center. That's all I want. I want
the speed bump. Okay.
I start drifting into the gay section. Oh, Christ. Where are we? Oh, I'm in Dubai already. I better make it back. Let's get back to the big top. Yes?
All right,
you're with me.
Speed bump.
Wanda, we were going to have you straighten out your on, but I think we're a little bit, I think we're running too late for that. Yes, Preska?
Yeah.
How say you?
Yeah.
So for that, I'm just going to give you a big fat plug, and we'll bid you adieu.
Okay, wonderful.
Wanda can be found at the Moore Theater, Seattle, this Friday and Saturday, taping the DVD.
Yes.
Yes.
Taping the DVD.
And again, you want to get on camera.
Getting out there, pee on yourself, slap somebody in the audience.
Right.
That's all.
Laugh it up, you get on camera.
Bonus feature.
This Friday, this Saturday, Moore Theater. Wanda, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll be back with news and sports after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Religious Pitch Challenge. Five religions enter, only one will leave. Which religious faith will win Adam over? Find out on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. We will have a rabbi coming in here in about 20 minutes and pitching me on his religion. Dave's, her religion. Yeah, I don't know if I can trust a religion that has a chick. It's, you know, listen, I'm old-fashioned. I want an old white guy, bald.
But as long as you keep your mind open to these things. Now, you have to choose a religion, not so much even for you. You're going to take on a faith because you have the twins on the way.
Yeah.
And that is a, so you want them to
I got twins.
Be
Maybe I'll go
spiritual.
One, I'll go Jew. The other, I'll go Muslim. See if I can stir it up a little bit. And every once in a while when they're giving me crap, I turn them on each other. You know what I mean?
Start a religious war.
One declares a fatwa and the other one's bouncy chair. You know what I mean? Going at it.
Yeah.
And I dress them in the garb, too. Oh, this is going to be good. So one of the kids is wearing the yarmulke and the prayer shawl and the payos hanging down. That's the chick with the beard and everything. The other one is walking around like a cleric. Yeah, Muslim cleric. And you know, with the prayer mat and going toward Mecca five times a day down on the ground. Start that early. You know, the whole thing about the whole five-time prayer thing is, you know, before you can stand up, it's no big deal. You're down there already. Where are you going? You already, basically, you spend your first few years in prayer position. Just crawling around on your knees. I just direct you toward Mecca and you go to town.
They'll thank you for it, right.
Before you know it, we have to put a wall down the center of the nursery.
And then you can step in and you can broker the peace and make your wife take pictures of you as you stand
shaking
over
hands
them shaking
on the podium.
Why are we doing this? This is very weird, Adam.
Yeah.
Just take the picture.
Yeah, that's right.
I've saved the world.
Yeah.
I've brokered peace.
Oh, and what a Christmas card.
Little babies.
I'm doing that. That's the Christmas card. The one twin... is the
your
chosen
girl's
people,
dressed like
the
a Hasidic old man Jew.
Right. The girl's dressed as Sedum. The other one says a Muslim cleric. Oh, perfect. Breaking bread. And especially around the holidays, with the symbolism of the holidays.
Can't wait till Christmas now.
Oh, that's going to be some good stuff. All right, so anyway, we have a female rabbi coming in here, going to try to bring me over to Judaism. But first, it is time for news with the beautiful Christina Guerrero.
Oh, you're too kind.
True.
All right, tonight on American Idol, the final eight are set to perform. The theme tonight is Queen.
Hmm.
What do you guys think? Little Queen?
Just gay music. It's going to be great. Yeah, look, anything's got to be better than country. That country last week just blew ass, except for this song, which blows greater ass.
Every song they're singing is going to be a Queen song.
It's all Queen. That's
there are
the
enough
theme.
Recognizable Queen songs for how many people
sure.
are left? Nine?
Eight.
Eight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Finally.
They probably have 12, 14, well, 12 songs. But if... This is a good song. I wouldn't mind a little pressure, perhaps. Oh, no, wait a minute. Do I like that song? The point is Queen is great because it is a 9.9 on the difficulty scale. I mean, people weren't meant to do this live. They're meant to do it in studio. Boy.
Should be interesting.
Yeah. Freddie Mercury's got to be rolling over in his grave, though, seeing all these stupid kids singing his song.
The country guy?
Yeah.
What's the country guy going to sing?
Now it's time for...
Bucky
Covington's going to get up there with his dented cowboy hat and buckets where shoes should be and a rope holding his pants up, and he's gonna sing the Bohemian Rhapsody, and Freddie's gonna do a cartwheel in his grave
with a twang.
Yes,
he'll do it with a twang. How about Prince though? What do you guys think? Prince making a cameo on American Idol?
No, he backed out. Right?
That's what
good.
I was just gonna report. Actually, he was gonna follow the lead of Barry Manilow and Kenny Rogers, and it's a no go. The executive producer of American Idol says the plan fell through when Prince refused to meet with the show's contestants.
Sure. What a delight. Would people start hating this guy? Please. 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 I hate Prince. I beg you to hate him with me. And please, I don't know, the whole genius status thing. Listen to some of his crappy, dated 80s music and see how good it sounds today. Is this Prince? Yes. Yeah, it's excellent. Genius.
And Sheena Easton.
This is genius.
This is genius, yes. Brilliant. Anyone who can program a Casio like this has got to be a genius. And sing about how he wants to get with a girl. Oh, he's so hot. Look, if he was a delight, if he didn't name himself after a symbol at some point and play that stupid guitar shaped like a medallion and do all this crap with the eyeliner and the doves flying off, stop buying into this guy's rap, would you, everybody? He's not a genius. Yes, he plays the guitar well. So does Peter Frampton. Stop it already. He's an a-hole. He's a narcissistic a-hole whose music sounds very dated and crappy. Here it is, everybody. Enjoy your Prince. You know why you love Prince so much? You were 17 and high when you heard it.
Stone.
You were stupid in 17. Now you're 34. Well, you're still stupid, but you're 34 and you're not high anymore, so knock it off.
Happy with what you started, Christina?
Amen.
A lot of people remember getting a handy to Prince in the back of the dad's Dodge Dart circa 1986, so they have fond memories of him. Ugh.
Jennifer Lopez,
play one of his other crappy songs. Listen to this horrible, pretentious rock. It sucks. Yeah. Oh, you couldn't tell what decade this was done in. Could have been done yesterday. Crap. Ugh. No, play the one I really hate. I hate more than this. This song is just mildly obnoxious. Where does he get all the defenders, too? Why does everyone feel the need to rush to his defense? You know, whenever I'm talking about what obnoxious a-hole he is, everyone, oh, he's a genius! First off, what do you know about music, Whitey? Where do you go? You play nothing. You know nothing, number two. And why are you defending an a-hole? Now, play the one I hate. We don't have it?
No CD.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, that's enough Prince. I'm going to vomit.
How about Jennifer Lopez?
Ugh.
She says her first ex-husband, that's the waiter guy that she met when she wasn't J-Lo yet, tried to extort her. Ojani Noah has written a tell-all book and said he'd drop it if she paid him $5 million.
Wow.
Apparently, the book doesn't make J-Lo look so good, which violates an agreement the two made last year.
Mm. All right.
$5 million bucks.
She's another amazing talent. So beautiful.
She's beautiful. She's stunning, I think.
Yeah. Nothing like an A cup with a huge ass. It really turns the boys on. She has nice skin.
At least Brusque has a B cup.
But areolas, size of saucers.
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
Okay, that's enough out of you. You look good.
A member of the rap group D12 was shot and killed at a nightclub today. Rapper Proof, or Deshaun Holton is his real name, was the best man at Eminem's wedding, and he also appeared in the film 8 Mile. Here's actually an audio clip from one of their more well-known songs. I'm gonna let the world know that Proof is hot. I should cut his mic off when the music starts. Hey, yo, ready to snap on a dumbass fan every time I hear. Hey, dude, I love your band. We ain't a band. We don't play instruments, so I hit 90 and we only get 10%. And these guys acting funny, y'all be area cold. Proof game, man. Carry on. Can't make it to the stage. That's too bad. Way.
Very sad.
Killed today.
A lot of people get shot at nightclubs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I go to restaurants.
It's horrible.
In Detroit, get shot at restaurants. They get shot at nightclubs.
Except for Robert Blake's wife.
Oh, yeah.
In a restaurant.
It was in the parking lot, though. That's my restaurant, by the way.
I've been there, too. That's a great restaurant.
I used to live right next door to the place, and that's where I ate cheap Italian food.
I like it. Yeah. They're like old-school kind of Italian food.
Not
you know, all the heavy red sauce and the big cheese, mozzarella baked onto everything.
More importantly, the fake grapes hanging everywhere and olives hanging everywhere and the cargo net on the ceiling, and then the celebrities you've never heard of before are all adorn the wall behind the takeout counter. That's what you want.
I'd always aspire to have my picture up there one day.
I'd like to get mine up at like a gynecologist, you know. Forget about the cleaners and the pizza joints. How about the other professions that work with celebrities, you know? Why not? You know what I mean? Why is it just limited to cleaners and pizza joints? Just restaurants and cleaners.
Podiatrists, gynecologists. Celebrities, vaginas.
Just the vaginas?
Yeah.
All right, and you try to guess.
Just the celebrity's vagina?
You try to guess.
And then you autograph it?
Yeah. All right.
Sounds good. How about Oprah yesterday? I love Oprah, so I watch it all the time. I didn't catch this yesterday, but she interviewed Debbie Cope, a recruiter for the documentary Girls Gone Wild.
Yes,
exactly. So she wanted to find out what's a typical day like for a Girls Gone Wild recruiter, and she explains.
They pay me $100 to go out with them and help them get girls. They either would kiss another girl, flash their breasts, or maybe flash the lower regions. Then the other option would be the scene, which would be soft core girl-on-girl action, just going to either a shower. Scene, they would give me like an extra 20, something like that. That's hot.
Smart to get chicks to go out and do your bidding. What you don't want is Big Tad lumbering up to some hot co-eds. Hey, ladies, you guys want to get on? Keep walking, load. Hey, Mr. Doorknob. We'll call you when we need you. Keep walking. But if you get some chick in there,
exactly.
And she's like, oh, it's fun. It's a good time. Oh, I did it. It's a party. They draw them in.
Yeah.
Interesting. Going to work that angle next time.
Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's the news. I'm Christina Guerrero. Aye, Poppy.
Well done. It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one. Sports! Do it, Dave.
Hi, Poppy, indeed. National pastime. Dodgers spoiled the Pittsburgh Pirates' home opener yesterday. They beat the Buccos 8-3, thereby defeating their former skipper, last year and of the last several years, Jim Tracy.
Yeah.
He's now 1-7.
Well, I know him as Mr. Personality.
He is a little dull.
Yeah, there's wooden Indians in front of cigar stores.
Over in the American League. The Angels won, and they're off to a pretty decent start themselves. NBA, LA's finest pro team, the Clippers lost to the Mavericks 75-73. Too low scoring for an NBA game. I feel they may have forgotten to play a quarter. But the big news is in the NHL right now. Lots going on there. L.A. Kings, all-time leading scorer, Lucky Luke Robitaille, spectacular left winger, all-time leading goal scorer in NHL history for a left winger, 10th all-time in goals scored. He's been really mulling this decision over in the twilight of his career, and he talks about how difficult that decision is.
He's going to retire?
He's going to retire, yes. He's hanging it up.
All right.
Without further ado, I just want to let everybody know, it has your ups and it has your downs. I mean, the past 2 weeks.
That's Robitaille?
The
biggest weeks of my life, the hardest weeks of my life. But I'm thank
He's
God
Canadian?
For managing it.
He's French Canadian.
To come out. Hmm.
He's,
and,
you know, like you might be thinking of the McKenzie brothers, like, you know, like, you know,
Bob
take
and Doug.
Off, eh? You
yeah,
know, like,
yeah.
You know, he doesn't talk. He's French Canadian, so he's
different.
Got a different kind of an
he's
accent.
He's loaded, eh? He's gone.
All right, that's different than he's like from Quebec or Montreal.
Right.
Without further ado, I just want to let everybody know. It has your ups and it has your downs. I mean, the past 2 weeks has been the biggest week of my life, the hardest week
right,
of my
Luke
life.
Right, Luke
I'm thank
yeah.
God for
great
managing
left winger.
It, managing it to
French Canadian played with Gretzky, Lemieux.
Can I hear that one more time?
Yeah. Without further ado, I just want to let everybody know. It has your ups and it has your downs. I mean,
has
the past
mullet,
2 weeks has been
probably know he looks like
big,
a blonde hair, pasty sort of one,
yeah,
the
hardest
pasty sort of guy. Yeah.
But I'm thank God for managing.
Because I think I've seen him, but
managing it to
and I hadn't heard him
and,
talk before.
The process.
Well, he's talking. He used a French word,
it's
adieu.
Real hectic,
you know,
I mean,
adieu.
Yeah, with no further ado.
So, I just want to let everybody
like bidding
know,
you adieu or something.
Right.
Yeah, it's a French word,
so maybe that's
he's Canadian then.
French Canadian.
The biggest thing.
Okay.
We'll miss him.
I don't, you know, I guess I don't hear enough hockey on TV.
Maybe
it's
that's
funny
the
when,
problem.
It's funny when you hear the audio. You know what it's like? It's like when people see you in real life, you know what I mean? You always look different. Oh, you're Dave Damashek from the number one sports. Yeah,
well, that
no,
doesn't happen, but yes.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, but they'd
for
say,
the sake.
But if, hypothetically,
right.
If somebody was listening, they'd say, I see you. Oh, Dave, you know what? I pictured you as much different.
Yeah.
That's what it's like with those drops for me, because I've
what
seen...
So I just want to let
yeah, I've seen Robitaille
know,
before, but I, it just sounds different.
I mean,
French-Canadian guy.
Okay.
Don't wreck our show, you hoser.
Let's not, but let's not look backwards. Let's look forward. What's really going on right now, the NHL playoffs are coming up, and the San Jose Sharks are red hot.
Mm.
They last night, they were victorious in overtime against Phoenix. 50th goal and 51st goal of the season scored by the first Shark ever to score 50 goals in a season. The greatest name in pro sports, Jonathan Chichu.
Chichu.
He says Chichu. I say Chichu. Everyone says Chichu. 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 Jonathan Chichu.
Is this why you couldn't go to lunch yesterday?
Jonathan,
this is what you had to do?
I'm playing every all the instruments.
Next time, join us.
Creep. Speaking of creeps, there's a new candidate for the creep of the week. The jerk report will come up later in the week, but we've already got one. I mentioned this early yesterday. I have to mention it again. I was in Phoenix, you know, having dinner for Mo Damashek's birthday, and I was sitting at a table next to the commissioner of baseball, Bud Selig. And my table was elevated above his so that I could look down on him in judgment, and that's just what I did. I watched him eat at a table of eight people. It's a nice seafood joint, spendy place, you know? So I got the bill, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
Big
deal. Now,
big time.
That's neither here nor there.
Right.
Bud Selig, table of eight people. He finishes his meal. He gets up, drops $100 for he and the old lady, he and the wife.
He doesn't pick up the tab.
Here's $100. You're worth $100 million, old man. You don't get the tab.
Right.
You skunk. People are saying to me, you know, my wife and everybody says, well, maybe the guys he was with were even wealthier.
Yeah.
So then they're all splitting the tab?
Let me say this.
Creeps.
Bigger picture, Damashek.
Yes.
Who are these people that feel the need to represent everybody I'm railing against?
You
know what I mean? Well, when I do this, and I do it all the time, what the hell's going on with this guy? I can't believe he didn't. And there's always somebody to my right who says, maybe they didn't, you never thought of, possibly, what you didn't know is. And I'm always like, would you shut up?
Oh, because, yeah,
how
people are saying
this
to me,
person? Stop defending this person.
Well, maybe the
person.
Other people are richer than
right,
Bud
Selig. Right, shut up. Whose side are you on?
Right.
Who do you know better, me or Bud?
Right. Why defend?
So what? So if somebody has more than $100 million, then fine. That guy should be getting the tab. Everybody dropping $100.
I'm saying bigger picture.
I only had the soft drink. I had a diet Sprite, so I don't think. I mean, you guys had a bottle of wine. Well, I don't think I should.
I agree he's a creep, but I'm saying stop defending everybody. Stop defending everybody. Just nod your head and say he's a creep. He deserves to die. And then go out in the parking lot, cut his throat with a steak knife.
Well, Christina says, I poppy.
The more you know.
I poppy.
She says, I poppy. I say game over.
Dave Dameshek's number one sports.
All right. We will have our rabbi in studio to try to convert me over to Judaism. See how that goes. Again, got kids on the way looking to pick a religion. She'll do her best after this.
Listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, all right. Little Belinda Carlisle for you. Not sure if she's a Jew or not.
I'm guessing no. But semi-appropriate song, though.
Yes.
Talking about heaven and stuff.
Well, it's religious week on the show. I have twins on the way. You know, I've reached the midway, hopefully, point of life, and I'm looking for a religion. I'm sort of was born in a religious vacuum. The Corolla's not big believers in things. I guess the tidings
especially
is something
you
want to deal with. Yeah, I'm an atheist, and I'm not even agnostic. I'm an atheist, and people want to know how you can be an atheist. It's simple. You just get raised around people that don't believe in God, and it's easy not to believe because it's the kind of thing you need to be indoctrinated into early. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And the argument of how did all this get here? Not a great, compelling argument for my religious friends. Pointing at the ground and going, how did this get here? Pointing at the sky and asking how it got here. A guy in a robe whipped it up.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Well, that ship may have sailed for you
mm-hmm.
intellectually and otherwise, but you still have the twins on the way.
Right.
A matter of weeks.
And as we spoke about, I want to raise one now. My new thing is raise one as a Hasidic Jew, and the other is a radical Shiite Muslim. I think that's going to be fun. And again, when the Christmas cards go out, it's going to be a laugh riot. Sherry Preston is here. She's a rabbi. Good to see you, Sherry.
Nice to meet you.
Progressive.
All right. Yes, thank you. All right. Somebody throw something at Bill, the pre-op board op over there. There you go, Bill. I think these guys are trying to get
journaling.
Your attention. I see. There you go. So, give us a little thumbnail sketch of Judaism. How does it work? What can I expect?
In 30 seconds or less, which is what I know you want, do not do unto others what you would not want them done unto you.
Good. Golden rule.
Golden rule. Jesus said it in a little bit different way.
Solid.
Jesus was Jewish, as you know, so that works.
Mm-hmm.
We're more committed to what we do in this life being important than the afterlife.
Smart.
But the deeds you have, I hear the music in the background, the deeds you have in this life will create you having a part in the world to come, but we don't emphasize hell and heaven as much. We emphasize just doing the right thing.
Well, what happens after you die? What do you believe?
We do believe the soul goes through different stages,
mm-hmm.
and the soul is born pure,
mm-hmm.
and through our good deeds, like I said, you do merit a place in the world to come, but we just don't emphasize it. So there's a lot in Kabbalah about that,
mm-hmm.
But it's not in mainstream Judaism a major component.
All right.
Now, Kabbalah's nonsense. Yes?
No. Kabbalah, and I'm not referring to one particular place in Hollywood, but the Kabbalah itself is the fourth level of studying Torah, and it's the secrets of what God gave to Moses on Mount
Sinai.
What
color is the belt you get?
You know, there is no belt. It's just all about...
If you guys did it like karate, I could get down with it.
But it's annoying, though.
There's a yellow belt in the Kabbalah right now.
Madonnas of the world are getting in on the Kabbalah.
It's obnoxious, right?
Right.
I don't think it's obnoxious. I think what it's doing is the Dalai Lama met with a group of rabbis, and they asked him, what should we do to turn our people back onto Judaism? And he said, teach the esoteric, which is the Kabbalah. So it's really a component of Judaism. And I think Madonna can be a spokesperson for it as well. I don't have a problem with that.
All right. So you're okay with her and those $20 little wristbands they're selling. Yes? No.
And the rabbi is also, she's multi-talented because she's also a cantor,
mm-hmm.
which means she sings as well. completely right. different gig than the rabbinical stuff.
It's actually more radical. In the 80s, I became one of the first women cantors in the world to have a full-time pulpit. So that was more radical because singing in front of men can, quote, according to Talmud, excite a man and distract him from prayer. So that
seduce.
Was
you can seduce. you can seduce Adam into your religion.
There you go.
By singing to him.
Let me say this before we get to the song. I have gone down to Fairfax and visited some of the Hasidim down there in the basement on a Tuesday, just noshing out the box tape to their head, and I thought, this is the life for me. And I would ask some of these guys who don't look like they've shaved for, well, since they were 16 and don't look like they've taken a shower since they were 14, and I say, why aren't you guys supposed to be out working? Oh, no, it's forbidden. And we must pray, and we must have this cardboard box strapped to our head, and then we got to eat. And I think to myself, what a ruse. What a gig this is. And I'm kind of looking for that out. You know what I mean? Because as an atheist, it's just get back to work there, devil man. We don't get any Passover. We don't get any holidays. No one respects anything we say. They just laugh, you know? I'm looking for an out. And that's why I'm looking to Judaism.
And there are different branches of Judaism. So what you saw the Hasidic guys doing would be different than, for example, I'm a female rabbi. They wouldn't have a female rabbi. So the different branches of Judaism.
What is the box that's taped to their head?
The tefillin has on it quotes from the Old Testament, from the Torah.
How about you go ahead and memorize them instead of tape the box to your head? You know, like, there's certain songs I like. I don't take the lyric sheet and duct tape it to my head. I just go ahead and commit it to memory.
Well, what's cool about it, I know your big thing is asking what the daily ritual is. And
yes.
The daily ritual of putting on the tefillin is pretty cool because it's putting it, if you're right-handed, which most of us are, you put it on the left hand. And if you're left-handed, you put it on the right hand. It's supposed to be close to God at all times.
Yeah. I don't want it falling off when I masturbate, though, so I put it on the magazine hand. You know what I'm saying? That's the last thing you want. The tefillin box falls into the toilet while you're taking care of business. You got to believe that's karma.
One more thing that's really cool is the blessing you say when you put on the tefillin, the phylacteries, is that it's the same blessing the groom says to the bride. I bind myself to you. I bind myself to you, God, with righteousness and faithfulness.
How does it go in the native tongue? Does it have a...
Veras tichli le'olam, veras tichli b'chesed v'yadata tashem. I will bind myself to you with righteousness, and you shall know the Lord. Same way the groom to the bride. So you're marrying yourself to God every time you say it.
Okay. That's weird, because he's a dude.
That's nice.
You know, marrying to put the box on. That's kind of weird.
Good Christ, I'm gay.
All right. We need to take a break. But so far, I like it. I'm down with it.
So right now, we still have another visit with her, but this is now vaulted ahead of Buddhism in your book.
Yeah, the Buddhism, nothing to hang your hat on.
I see.
So nothing there.
So far, so good. And next time you're going to sing.
There's a book called The Jew and the Lotus, which actually talks about Jubus that are Jews that practice Buddhism as well.
Jubu.
Jubu.
Jubu. Wow,
Jubu. That could be one religion for me.
Dave, that'd be the greatest. Dave, what religion do you practice, David?
Jubu. Me and Chichu. We go to Kookaroo, we talk about Jubu. Me and Chichu.
Oh, what a date. All right, we will take a break. We'll be back with the good rabbi after this.
Adam Carolla Show
on 107.7 The End.
Smarten up. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Jesus, Dickie scared me. Falling asleep there. All right, we're here with Rabbi Sherry and Velvo.
Streisand.
Dave Damashek, who just told
me. Belville.
Belville. I've known you for some years now. I didn't know you were voted most valuable Jew in Hebrew school.
At the end of my years of Hebrew school, yes, my peers elected me the all-time most valuable Jew because I was the most disruptive in
Sunday
school.
This is in Pittsburgh.
Right, in Pittsburgh. I was the most disruptive to the class and, you know, wisecracks and such, and so they, you know.
Were you able to scrape together enough Jews in Beaver Falls to fill out a Saturday class?
Listen, the Three Rivers are lousy with Jews.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I just
We're
don't picture
them
it.
Over there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Franco Harris.
Jew, huh?
Lynn Swan.
Jew?
Yep.
Wow.
Dirk Cobra Lindstedt? Dave Parker.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah.
What about Lemieux? Le-Jew?
Now you're being silly.
Okay. We're here with Sherry, our rabbi. We're talking about religion all week. I'm looking for a new one, especially for the kids. You have a top 10 list for us?
I do, Adam. I'm here to tell you why you should hitch your wagon to Judaism.
All right. These are the number one reasons why I should go Jew.
Top 10 reasons why you, Adam Carolla, should convert to Judaism.
Right.
I just made these up.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10, great food. There's definitely a feast day or fast day yo-yo diet, but it's still great food.
All right, I'm down with the food.
Yes, good food.
But I'm telling you what I'm not down with, the gefilte. I'm not down with the fish, and I don't like the gelatinized animal.
I don't either.
Stick the lime and banana like the goyim.
Okay.
But the meats can't be beat. The smoked fishes
I know, and it's great. Brisket all the time. Yeah, nothing better than
delicious.
That pastrami. Yeah. All right.
Number 9, I heard you say tushy on the air yesterday, so you already have a Yiddish vocabulary.
Yeah.
Number 8.
Tush, mitzvah.
With a name like Adam, you're halfway there already with a built-in Hebrew name.
I know.
Dom.
Thanks, folks.
Not
for the
to
confusion.
Mention the unibrow.
Yeah, I do. I got the Jufro, I have the mammoth monobrow, and I have Adam. I'm halfway there.
Number 7, we're fun and we laugh at ourselves. You can never have enough Manischewitz. We even have a holiday where you're commanded to get drunk.
Wow.
But really? Which holiday is
it? Purim. Costumes.
Purim, you're commanded to get loaded.
Wait.
You don't drive afterwards, but you're supposed to be so drunk that you don't know the difference between the bad guy who was trying to kill all the Jews and the good guy.
That's in the Talmud. Don't drive.
Okay.
Don't drive.
Don't drink and drive.
Don't get on your camel.
Yes.
Number 6, you're in great company with Einstein, Freud, Dr. Ruth, and Gene Simmons.
It's true. It's an eclectic group of Jews.
Number 5, you can kvetch and complain as much as you like.
Oh, my God.
We encourage that.
I should be grandfathered into Judaism with my kvetching and complaining, because that's all I do. I should be made an honorary rabbi with all the complaining. But believe me, bring on your best complaining Jew. I'll make short work of them. They'll be complaining about how I kicked their ass in the complaining competition. That's the only thing they'll be complaining about when I'm done with them.
Number 4, I love all religions, but you don't need any statues, so you save a lot of money just praying straight to God.
Yeah, but then how about when I go with the Judaism, and the grandma buys the kid the big drilled-out guy, and I have to throw it on the kid every year when the grandma comes into town, a big gold-looking weird Stonehenge thing swinging from the kid's neck. I don't know about that.
But you make a good point about the statues. That promotes people seeing, Virgin Mary crying and stuff. You don't hear a lot of Jews saying, hey, I found Moses in my Pop-Tart kind of thing. You don't see that ever.
Right, and some of my best friends are Hindu and Catholic, so I'm not saying anything against them. It's just a joke. All right, just making sure you know that.
Sure.
That was just a joke. All right, number 3, you can take off for Jewish holidays, and there are lots of them.
Oh.
And I even got Wanda Sykes saying that, and I already had it on my list.
Yeah, you got it number 3. I got it number 1. Don't we got something coming up? What's coming up?
Yeah, Passover coming up.
When is that?
Tomorrow night.
Gone, Daddy, gone. I don't feel right about coming in here making jokes when my people have suffered. What are we celebrating again?
We're celebrating freedom.
Passover?
Freedom. You got it.
Okay.
You got
freedom.
It.
Yeah, I don't feel right about it. I can't do the show tomorrow. I'm out.
You got it. Number 2. Drum roll yet? I know you're into
two?
This one. Yeah, because you're into number 2 and number 1. Number 2.
Working dirty.
You can stay in bed naked on Sunday and watch all the football you want because our Sabbath is on Saturday.
Nice. I just missed college game day. That's fine. But
and
do I got to give it to my wife through a hole in the sheet?
We're getting there. No hole in the sheet. But it brings us the number 1 reason why you, Adam Carolla, should convert to Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
Sex. You actually get extra brownie points for having sex with your wife on the Jewish Sabbath, and you can be excused from all other activities in order to do so.
Really?
So let me know when you're ready to convert, and I'll call the police. He's cute.
All right.
Look at the rabbi. What an effort by the rabbi.
What a dynamite lady. I told you, they do not disappoint
I'm ready to
those people.
Are there Mexican Jews?
Are there Mexican Jews?
Sure, definitely Mexican Jews.
Wow.
Sure. For sure.
Sure. Cheap and drunk. All right. Punch the Hooters punch machine, because ultimately this is going to help the Buddhists hit 476. So you got that. Uh-oh. Oh, this could be a tough spell.
Oh, wow.
This could be tough. It's 65.
60.
That's my point. All right.
Oh, man.
By the way, you guys cannot. They drop the Jewish. You can't keep hitting it. It's a Jewish ceremony.
The shofar. It's the ram's horn. It's blown on the Rosh Hashanah.
That's
like
right.
Instrument.
It's an instrument.
You blow it like a horn.
Look it up. Say it one more time, Dave.
Blow the shofar.
Okay, good. I can sleep. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you very much.
You are a breath
leader
of fresh
in the
air.
Clubhouse. Judaism.
Nice. Yes. Welcome to the clubhouse.
You've leapfrogged to the top of the religious list. And the mitzvah to you, too.
Thank you.
Right, I want to thank Morrison for coming in here tonight, or calling in, 93 years of age. Daisy Fuentes, Wanda Sykes, Jeff Richards. Go to myspace.com/tastyjeff for more comedy information about the great Jeff Richards. Rabbi Shari Preston, thank you very much. Shari Preston, I should say. TheSingingRabbi.com. And Christina Guerrero, thank you very much, baby.
Thanks. I had a great time.
Nice
Thanks
job.
For inviting me.
Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Hi, Poppy.